The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is not media day here at Gillette Stadium, but it is at the Super Bowl.
Actually, it kind of is.
We're in
media.
New Jersey.
Well, we also saw media. Yeah. Media outside.
9.
Really?
Lederhosen. Oh, for Sebastian Vollmer you saw walking around. We'll get into that a little bit later. But
they got here on the Autobahn.
Welcome to off-season edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2
Another
o'clock,
one.
As we will every Tuesday and Thursday.
Is this a very special off-season edition?
They're all very special.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're all very special.
Like your children.
But as we speak, Media Day is going on
in
New Jersey. The Broncos wrapped up their Media Day. Seahawks are coming up at 12:30. And, you know, it's the usual nonsense that happens at Media Day. But I really do have it. I think that particularly NFL Network, because they have all the time in the world to cover this thing. They don't really need to cover any other sport. I really think they could do a better job covering Media Day and making it more interesting.
Okay.
How
what
so?
Do you want?
I don't know, but, you know, they say, you know, Media Day isn't your usual, you know, media. It's everybody asking random questions. And then they spend the first 10 minutes listening to Peyton Manning, who we've listened to all week and the week before and the week before that. So go find the more interesting people and coaches that we haven't spoken to.
Do you, when you say that, do you mean that they could do Media Day itself differently? Or well, do you just mean like what they show us?
Yes, what they show us.
Because I don't find a whole lot interesting in Media Day, period.
Yeah. Mm.
But I do think I like your idea of sort of doing something different with Media Day.
But what?
As opposed to like, you know, the podiums with, like you said, Peyton Manning. Like, give Peyton Manning a break.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
On Media Day.
Show Marquise Cole.
You know, everybody has
instance,
a Rich
right?
Ornberger, for example. Remember Rich Ornberger for the Patriots?
A clown.
He did a bunch of stuff with us in Indianapolis.
No, he was a jokester.
He was on
that.
IR, I believe, in Indianapolis. And he did a bunch of stuff with No Socks and the KSP crew.
You know what?
That was really off. Put a guy like that on
a
podium,
a
and all of a sudden you got it.
Any player is allowed to come up. Basically, an open mic. You can come up and show up any talent you have.
And what happens when no one shows up?
Well, you make sure that you have at least 3 or 4
people. You plan it ahead of time.
Yeah.
But don't you think every team has a guy or two that you don't know?
Yes.
You know, everybody knows what Peyton Manning is. Give him give him one day off, 45 minutes where he doesn't have to be the guy at the podium answering all of the same questions.
Or Manning gets to interview his teammates or something, you know. Yeah, shake it up. Because, you know.
I think how they do Media Day as opposed to how they televise it, because not really sure that.
Yeah, I have no criticism of how they televise it.
I don't
because
either.
I don't think anybody gives a rat's ass about. You know, we can say as Patriots fans, it gives us a chance to talk to Dante Scarnecchia, but 48 other states don't care about Dante Scarnecchia.
No,
they don't want to hear about. But, they know Peyton Manning. They want to see Peyton Manning. They want star.
But
power.
The thing, even
if
then,
you change it, like Paul says, okay, now maybe
that might make it funny
during the
week, I don't know.
the media has a chance to speak to Dante Scarnecchia all week. It's right. not like Media Day is the only right. day where it's
exactly.
full
you don't need to have
access. They have full access to every coach and player all week. So make Media Day something different. You
yeah,
know?
That's sure. why I think I'm like what Andy just said. It's not necessarily how they televise it. It's another day of football for 95% of the people that are covering Media Day. It's the same as Monday and Wednesday.
Right.
It's another day of football, and you're trying. I think to make it something different, a little bit offbeat, uncanny, you know, like I said, a guy like Rich Umberger, just that silly stuff.
Sure.
And you never know when that's
going to spell other players' names.
Yeah. Sure. You never know when that's going to break out. They get those questions all the time, like the Nickelodeon.
No,
kids
I know,
show
but
up.
Just package that into it like a stage show, as Fred says.
Yeah.
Justin Tucker can sing.
I think you could do it.
That was him, right? Didn't he have a singing career? Rapper or something?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
Matt Light could sing country music.
Right.
You know?
Gimmickize it.
Have a talent stage right. going on over here, and then you have your little contest or something going on over there. Maybe, you know, you could have two guys playing chess, and you could cover it.
The problem,
whatever.
Though, Freddie, is that...
Two guys playing chess. Now, there's riveting television.
One guy playing chess, the other playing
chess. The media have taken Media Day to mean it's about them, not
right?
about
yeah.
the players that they're interviewing. And, yeah. you know, the costumes. There's a guy dressed up as Waldo walking
yeah, what's
around
that all
there.
About? I need to know more about that.
I don't know, but he's being interviewed.
No, I know.
By other media.
That's idiot TV media. I mean, that is a total argument for a total different day. But does he have a purpose?
I don't know.
Like, because the whack job guy from Nickelodeon was from Nickelodeon. He was
yeah,
doing
you
kids
have to
interviews.
Be, you have to be some affiliation. So,
because I don't like
which,
if people dress up just to get attention.
Right.
If you actually do a show like, I don't know, Where's Waldo on PBS or something, and okay, so this is your shtick, you're going to use some answers. But if you're just trying to get attention,
yeah.
then I want to punch him in the face and break
the,
his glasses.
They've set a record this year at the Super Bowl for credentialed media.
Yeah.
6,329.
Wow.
For the week.
Wow, that's good.
But a lot of that is the
6,000
idiot
which will be
people
outside.
Dressed up like Where's Waldo.
Yeah, they're not all getting into the game.
No,
right?
no, no.
I actually,
no.
reading the tweets, it seems like it was a lot less gimmicky today.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Based on everything people said, there was a
they
couple.
They don't have the woman walking around in the bride.
The bridal gown.
Maybe yeah. they do, but we didn't see
is,
that.
Is Tekka there? That's all I want to know.
That was her, wasn't it?
Well, she was with TV Azteca, yeah. but what she wasn't.
She wasn't oh.
Azteca.
There's usually there's one.
One
who,
yeah, I know.
There's
Inez.
Usually one Inez. Azteca.
Fred, she is a professional journalist.
yeah.
he just goes, yeah.
She's a pro, all right.
wow.
Easy.
All right.
Fred's yeah. actually, Fred wants to order one of the Media Day sweatsuits.
I know.
Just a mere $210.
Yeah.
$130 for the jacket and $80 for the pants.
Sure.
Oh wow, they actually have that this
yeah.
year.
Look at that. I actually like them. I think
instead of the
cool.
jerseys.
Yeah, I think I like them.
And Andy made a good point.
really?
They're now using the same Super Bowl logo every year and just changing the Roman numerals. I don't like that.
That's been that way for the last
yeah,
few years.
And that's
yeah.
Darren Revell's point.
I think every
is
Super Bowl should have its
sucks.
Own unique logo.
I agree.
That's part of the whole NFL's whole everything has to be the same.
Right. Stupid. You know, not
from
fun.
The uniforms
Goodell
to the field.
Ruining it.
To,
I blame Goodell.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've run the numbers and
really did they?
I don't know.
I think it's. I think I agree with you though. I think it's boring. You have the same logo every year.
You just said you were sure.
Well, I'm sure they have a reason.
I'm sure they ran the numbers. Did they really? I don't know.
I'm sure they have a reason for
Fred,
why
I don't know what
it's better
I can
to have
from
the
you
same
anymore.
Logo and have the Super
that doesn't
Bowl
mean
have
it's
a
right.
recognition.
There's lots of advice and consultants and right. groups, and that doesn't mean it's right.
The funny thing is, I think that the one, and did it start with ours in Indy?
I
was that the
did.
First one?
I think Indy was the first
I think it was the year
logo.
Before.
46?
I think it was the year before.
Okay.
What was the year before?
45. I actually liked... I liked that logo.
This guy.
I liked that sort of that gray with the numbers, but I agree with these guys. It doesn't need to be the same logo every time. Like most of the logos, I don't like. I think they have like color and
yeah,
different
some
looks.
Some of them
like
are good.
Unique,
some are,
but you need to have yeah. a different
immediately,
one.
Immediately, when
yes.
you see those logos, you think of the Super Bowl. Like mm-hmm. the Patriots Super Bowls, the logo.
Right.
When I see that logo, it takes less than a half a second.
Yeah, I mean, obviously
I
we
what,
had
where,
the red, white,
when.
And blue of 36.
Right. right.
We had the,
even going
the blue
back
and
to,
yellow of the space
right.
in Houston.
Yep.
Right.
I don't remember the one in
no, but even going back
there.
To the Mardi Gras one in New Orleans the first time. The purple the Mardi Gras logo.
Yeah.
That stuff. Like, it was automatic. Boom. Now you see a trophy and you got to figure out what
is it
number
it is.
Is
it the playoffs?
Right.
You know, they have
it's
the
terrible.
Same logo for the playoffs and, yep. you know, with the the trophy of the football.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning behind that was, but I don't think that was a good call.
All right, no. Patriots news revolves mostly around coaches flirting with jobs and not going and things like that.
Personnel.
The latest one was Nick Caserio, kind of surprisingly. We read that he was down at Miami interviewing for their GM job and was actually made an offer, according to some reports, that he turned down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was mildly interesting, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Josh McDaniels reportedly was still in the running for the Cleveland job. They've since made the hire. But that was interesting that even after he took his name out, there was a report that they might make another run at him.
One report I saw that Jimmy Haslam really wanted him. It was the word was he was the apple of Jimmy Haslam's eye.
Yeah, well,
he really wanted Josh.
So is Eric Mangini.
I also read last night that three more people have been indicted in the Flying J thing. So they're getting closer and closer to the top.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he clearly has a thing for Belichick and Belichick underlings. With the whole Mangini falling in love and the McDaniels falling in love, he clearly has a thing for the Belichick.
And Belichick, evidently, one of the reports I saw over the weekend, made a call to Haslam on behalf of Schiano. Try to get him in the mix before. This was a story I read over the weekend, but before they hired Pettine. So clearly,
Bill's a kingmaker.
Yeah, Bill clearly has a connection with Jimmy Haslam.
He just wants to take Cleveland out of the running for another 10
years.
Well,
I just figured maybe he wanted to see if he could get Josh Gordon for, like, you know,
right,
an eighth round pick.
Sure.
I'd take him.
Yeah, get that pipeline going.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
For an eighth round pick.
Speaking of that, eighth round picks and bad trades.
Troy Brown.
Jerry Angelo was ripping some very critical comments.
Very
Bill Belichick,
strong comments.
The way
he
structured this team and very, very strong. I think.
But he's another guy that we've fleeced in the past.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
we
why
did.
I just said that.
Right.
I actually
speaking
said,
of it,
speaking of.
speaking of guys that have been
surprised me,
taken to the woodshed
very
by
much
Belichick.
Surprised me the way he was overly critical. I actually think unfairly critical. I think this is a year where the whole Hernandez debacle and everything.
Right.
This was not a planned season that
exactly.
They orchestrated some plan and it didn't exactly work out. This, you were flying by the seat of your pants for a little while there in the summer and kind of figuring things out.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, and Mike Reese had a good reaction to that where he kind of broke it down. If you look at what the Patriots thought they were going to have going into the season, where you had Hernandez and Gronkowski and then Amendola was like your third target, it would have been pretty good. If it had worked out that way, you know,
and it's what they planned for when they invested $100 million in those guys 2 years ago.
Right.
Clearly, they said this is the focal point, this is the centerpiece, and they lost their centerpiece. It was gone.
Yeah, the only criticism that I think would be valid there, and I don't agree with Angelo's. I would have said, given that structure, you put a lot of stock into guys that have had a hard time staying on the field, you know, with Gronk, Hernandez, and Amendola, three guys that have had injury histories. And I would have put Edelman as the fourth one into that category as well. No way of knowing what ended up happening. I think it's ridiculously unfair to sit there and
Hernandez didn't get hurt.
Yeah, they should have known that Aaron Hernandez was a
healthy
ticking time
year.
Bomb. Ridiculously unfair, I thought.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was interesting.
I don't know what happened to him. You know.
Well, you know.
What other news do we have Patriots related?
Yeah, taking it up the pooper, so to speak.
We talked about McDaniels. We talked about
Caserio.
It was funny, though. Mike Reese also had a report after Caserio had turned down the job, allegedly, that it was more of a kind of peek behind the curtain type of trip.
Yeah, he was sort of wondering if that might have been why Caserio flirted and then ultimately turned down the job.
Yeah.
I always think that's weird. I think when, you know, and I was critical way back when of Josh saying, well, he must not be the guy that's getting the job. And obviously I was wrong because they wanted him, and they proved that even more so by taking a run at him again after he pulled out. I don't really know why you do all the work to go through that hassle to get to the point where you're taking a job. Now, Caserio had two interviews.
Mm.
If you didn't want the job, why not just say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, because maybe to the point of the report, maybe he was trying to get as much info as he could.
Yeah.
If
you believe the report.
Yeah.
If you ever have aspirations of going anywhere else, that's not a good
report. No, it's not.
Well, I don't think that's a good thing.
We were talking about it yesterday. Does this thing with Josh pulling his name out and Nick getting offered and saying no, does that kind of help Belichick in the future of teams saying, you know what, screw those Patriots people. They're never serious about taking the jobs. And so that helps Belichick so they stop poaching.
Mm. It could.
Inadvertently, you know? It might, yeah. You
know? I don't think it's good for Nick Caserio, though.
No.
Your own personal
advancements. Right.
Now, we don't have any idea. Some of the reports kind of sound like he may have accepted the job had things gone a little differently when it was offered.
Right.
The final sort of, okay, well, if I do accept it, X, Y, Z, and that didn't work, so okay, I'm declining.
That's why I'm sort of calling the other one. You have to kind of take it, right?
Plus,
isn't
you come
that
back
why you're
in 2
in the
years.
Business? Mm. You know?
Yeah, and I think that the reports about whether or not he would have or had the authority to fire Joe Philbin, to me, there was too many of those reports out there. I don't know which one of them was accurate, but there was one side that said that he wanted to fire Joe Philbin, and they didn't let him do it. There's another side that said that he had no intentions of firing Joe Philbin, and he just turned down the job. I don't know which
side
one of those
said that.
I don't know which one is true.
Is that the side that said Randy Moss wasn't being traded?
I don't know. But my point is, I think there were too many of those stories about Joe Philbin being tied to Nick Caserio to believe that the only reason why he took the interviews was to, you know, get a peek behind the curtain.
But that would be a good test. If I'm Nick Caserio, one of the questions what I would ask is, can I fire Joe Philbin? Not that I really want to do that.
But you have to have the authority to do it.
If they say, well, no, that's not your call, then, well,
then you
okay.
You say, forget it.
Yeah.
And beyond that, now the reports out of Miami are that the GM doesn't even have final roster say. That Philbin has some sort of input. I guess it's kind of vague as to how much he has, but it's not even final say over the roster. So it's a bad situation. I wanted to ask you, Fred. I've never been involved in high-level interviews.
Neither have I.
Well, I was just like...
Fred had a pair of sweats on when I interviewed with him.
He had his first interview
in
Friday, and then he had his second interview Saturday. Like, what was the second interview like compared to the first? Like, how does that work?
Maybe sometimes they bring in different people. They reevaluate. Because a lot of times you walk away from an interview thinking, oh, man, I should have asked that question.
Right.
Whether you're the interviewer or the interviewee. So to have that second chance at it, I think it's good
practice. It just seems so quick. Well, like, I can see the guys that were like a week apart or whatever because they kind of had a extended period, and then Nick came in at the very last minute, and then he interviewed the next day or the next morning or something for the second one.
But I can see that.
But, yeah, I mean, also in the NFL, it works the hiring processes work a lot quicker than they would in the real world.
Right. Well, sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Unless you're looking for a head coach in Cleveland.
Well, yeah, but I mean, for the most part, if you're going to like a job in corporate America, chances are you're going to have more than one interview because, like Fred said, you have to meet with, you know, if you pass that first level of, okay, with the lower level interview people like you, then you have to get bumped up to
Once he leaves, he's got things to do here. You know, it's not like we're going to be able to drag them back down here.
Yeah,
so.
The combine is a few weeks away. Right. They have to get all this stuff settled. So that process might be a little bit faster.
It just seems weird.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like, I can see, okay, I left Friday night. I want to hire him. Well, I just, what do I need to do Saturday morning that's going to either make me want to or not want to hire him?
You never know. I also thought it was interesting. I don't know if people caught it. The drive along with Scott Pioli and Tom Dimitroff down in Atlanta. It was Scott's first day on the job, and he walks into the SUV and hands Dimitroff an apple from Boston, or so, you know, because that's where he's coming from. I guess does he still live up here, Pioli?
No idea.
I guess he does.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, it was really awkward, and it was, you know, Pioli kept saying things like, you know, I'm fired up. We got a lot of work to do, and Dimitroff never really reacted to that because, you know, he's thinking, well, you have a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
I'm all caught up. You know, I've been at this job for a while. You're the one that has a lot of work to do, you know?
Or you could look at it the other way. A lot of work to do because your roster sucks. I got to clean up your roster. Well, no, I don't think I have a lot of work.
Exactly.
I think I have a pretty damn good team that had a couple things go the wrong way last year with injuries.
Right.
I also didn't care for the part where Scott says, you know, we really got to emphasize this is a partnership.
Right.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
You work for me, bitch.
Right.
So suck your chest in and start doing what I tell you to do.
Right. Yeah, so.
I think it's a very weird dynamic overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be working for a guy that once worked under you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works very often.
Yeah.
And nothing weirder than that dynamic on a dashboard camera. Like,
there was another one with Gus Bradley too, right? That was out there too. Like, where are those coming from? Like, what are they?
The dashboard.
No, but what, like,
this
why
was
are they
just AtlantaFalcons.com. I mean, this was like us doing it.
There was another one.
You know, some teams actually get to do stuff.
This was in Alabama, right?
They were driving from like the hotel to the Senior Bowl.
Right. It's weird to me. It was a weird. I don't know.
Well, the whispers I've heard is that this was a Arthur Blank hire, Pioli.
Yeah,
he wanted to create that.
And it feels like it, you know. Certainly feels like it when Scott's saying this is a partnership.
Yeah. Right.
What do you mean by partnership? Yeah. One of them's out in a hurry, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That did not, I know they're friends and they go back a long way, but still, at some point, there's power involved and there's control and
of course there is.
Decisions. Based on that video, that won't be a long one.
I agree. You know?
I did. And Scott.
And I'm sure that was highly scrubbed and edited.
Oh, yeah, because yeah, it had a
then,
lot of edits.
It came through, yeah. You know?
The one thing that did make me laugh is when Scott, he, like, his phone dingled or whatever, and Scott's like, whoa, no texting and driving or something.
Right. He's like, you're telling me what to do?
Right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to save your
life. Save your life. That one actually made me laugh.
Oh, Dimitrov said, you're telling me what to do?
Yeah, because he, like, reached.
I didn't watch this.
His
thing.
Alarm went off or something, and he was fixing
it. Was this
it.
On NFL Network?
No, this was on Falcons.com.
Falcons.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It was interesting. It was an awkwardly interesting watch.
And I'm sure it got a ton of views.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is what they want.
Yep.
All right, so work that way. I wish we could do stuff like that.
We can't.
We can't.
We just win games.
You know, Bill picking up Dave.
Dashboard came at the Miami interview.
Bill picking up Dave Giuliani for the first time.
Fred is so right about that. I have not pronounced the guy's name since then.
I haven't tried.
That's all I do. I don't
call
try
him Coach
anymore.
Elmo or
he
Coach
does.
D.
Paul's come over to my cube several times with that grin on his face just to do that.
Elmo.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what I'm saying, and I'll say something different every time, but everybody will know exactly who I'm talking about.
It's like mozzarella. You can say mozzarella.
Where's
the guy
that go?
Why are all Italian things like that?
What?
Because some people say prosciutto.
It's the dialect.
Right. So
it's my father used to call it prosciutto.
There's like a million different ways.
The further south you go in Italy, the worse the dialect gets. So it gets sloppier and
worse.
Yeah,
wow. Well, it's like kind of like the United States.
It's kind of like the United States.
He didn't say different. He said worse.
Right.
Guess where Eric's family's from? Northern Italy.
No,
right?
All over the place.
Nice. I give you credit then if you're ripping your own people.
No, my people are from all over the boot, including Sicily.
The boot.
Okay. All right.
But it's true that in northern Italy, they speak slower, they enunciate more, they speak more proper Italian. But the further south you go, the dialect starts to get lazier.
So you drop a lot of vowels.
It's kind of how it is here, too.
It's sloppy.
That's what I said. Exactly. It's just like us.
So it's a southern thing. Why closer you get to the equator, the more lazy and sloppy you are.
It's warmer. You know, people
Where's Jackie? Get her in.
It's colder up north there.
We'll ask her.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really warm there now.
No, but, you know, in general.
I did have one little off-topic thing since it's the off-season. Did you see these statistics came out? And America not, the United States, not the fattest, most obese country in the Americas?
Oh.
In the Americas?
Yeah.
What is?
Mexico has passed us by a percentage point or two.
Okay.
And some of the fattest countries in the world, Egypt, I would not have guessed.
Really?
Very high. And South Africa, very high.
Really?
I thought of Africans as not being, you know,
I'm not
overly
surprised by
bumps.
South Africa, but Egypt, I was stunned when you told me that.
That does seem a
There's a few other that are really high, but as I told Paul, I think they're really small countries, so if like 20 people are fat, it really sucks the percentage or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I always just assume, you know, you read everything, you assume American, fat Americans, you know, and the Mexicans, I say that not in a racist way, because that sounded weird when I just said that. But like, don't you have this vision of like, in rural Mexico, like they're eating freshly made corn tortillas with fresh salsa, and like, how'd they get fat?
Taco Bell.
See, I have the opposite viewpoint.
Eric Cartman over here thinks.
I just think of like these short, chubby little Mexicans. I do.
That's because they all work on your lawn.
Oh. Yeah. I have a staff. That's all that's all I think of.
Okay. All of a sudden, it's turned into Family Guy.
Did you know there's unrated Family Guy on Netflix?
No. I heard there are.
I did not know
how much called PFW in progress.
Yeah.
No, but like the swears come out.
Oh, really?
And Maura was telling us her husband watched it, and he's always laughing, and he's always like, even though I know it's coming, it makes me laugh more. And I guess there's somewhere like, if there's like a flasher, like they show a cartoon naked guy with his schlong hanging out.
Oh my God, wow. Really?
I might have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm interested.
I'm not surprised. That's what got you interested.
Right.
Seth MacFarlane, just
dirty.
I watch a lot of the reruns, obviously, and season one, they really hadn't really gotten
found their voice yet.
But then season two, they started to. You can see the difference. It's really interesting.
You mean in terms of vulgarity or humor?
Just, going there, like pushing the envelope.
Well, they reached that point.
They were on network television. They were on, well, sort of.
I don't know when they exactly realized, we're like South Park. We can do whatever we want. We won't get in trouble.
Right.
But
and they got canceled like three times, right?
Oh, is that right?
Family Guy?
Yeah, I believe it did.
They got canceled and brought back like several times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe it did, yeah. It's one of those.
I never watched it, you know, live. I've only watched reruns.
Hmm. Why'd you just pull a Teddy Bruschi when you said that? Never watched it, you know, live.
Well, I don't know what you call
it. It's not really live because it's a cartoon.
I know what you mean.
First run.
First
run. Yeah.
There's a lot of shows that I never saw when they were on originally that I liked. That 70 show. Is a show that I never watched when it was on. I saw it in reruns. Oh, yeah. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Not a bad show.
This was good. That 70 show. Pretty good TV.
Not a bad show.
Set your DVR.
Not a bad show.
On TBS or whatever one of those syndicated shows.
I don't even know if it's still on anywhere.
No. Whoa. Oh, syndication?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. TBS probably.
Not a bad show, though.
Very funny.
Very funny.
Well, back to football.
You know what I haven't seen at all in the NFL Network coverage? I'm getting back to football.
She is there, by the way. Thanks, according to Twitter.
Who's she? TBS Tekka?
Yeah.
I have not seen Albert Breer at all at the NFL Network.
I haven't either.
Coverage.
It's weird.
He works for NFL.com, right?
Yes.
And the NFL Network?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where and the I hell is Ian Rappaport? Has he passed him up?
He must
Ian
have.
Because he's always on those little
sit-down
shows
think of it
with Michael Silver.
I see the crap sheet at the table right now.
No, but Breer would be out
I don't
in
the see,
audience.
I don't see him. I haven't seen him at all.
Where the hell is he? Albert, where are you?
If anybody knows the whereabouts of Albert Breer, you can let us know.
No, you would think the Super Bowl... He would be there, right?
Well, it is the marquee event.
Unless he's camped out at NFL headquarters for some reason, maybe.
Why would he be camped out at NFL headquarters?
That's what they do with him.
Wasn't he tweeting from the Senior Bowl?
He was tweeting from the Senior Bowl
a week ago or whenever it was.
Maybe he's more draft-related stuff this year. Mm-hmm.
Everybody at NFL Network, I would think, would be involved in the Super Bowl, would you?
You would think. I don't know.
Fair enough.
So is he one of the 10 people we should include in our... draft experts.
Does he do a mock draft?
Yeah, how'd that go, by the way?
What?
You fighting with Chris Ferreira.
You seem to be in a little bit
playing
of
playing the role of Paul and Andy having to deal with the monkey.
Well, what people don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we're going to get...
You're going to explain
it. We're going to do a mock draft tracker that we do every year, but we're going to change it up a little bit this year. Instead of having...
30 of them, we're going to eliminate 20.
Yeah, we're going to give you less information, evidently. And we're going to go with the top 10... was what we were looking for, and then
now
you
who's determining the top?
Not 11,
well,
mind you.
We tried to,
not
but
12,
but we had 11, and then you brought up a point.
We had 12, but I cut out Paul and Eric.
Why can't it be more than 10?
Right.
To which,
well, graphically, it wouldn't work. Two rows of six.
Two rows of six was the last email
with
I got
tone.
So here's the question.
So
now.
You're looking
tone?
For 12.
No,
oh, there was tone.
There was tone on your part.
There was tone coming in both directions.
No tone, however, on the part of Andy and I.
I can understand they were saying that if you put more than 10, the thumbnails, you know, across the screen, the thumbnails get too small, doesn't look it. So I said, why don't we just stack two rows of six?
Well, it's like 8-minute abs. You can't do seven.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why can't we
you
have
do,
to do what everybody
two rows
else
of seven.
No, because when we did the list
technically,
of the 10,
you could do
I
two
noticed
rows
that
of 10.
Pro Football Weekly was off, Nolan Nowacki, and usually he's got something good to say every year.
But he's limited in the one thing I will kind of side with Chris. This the whole idea of this graphically is to update it as it goes along. They even have like a timeline of each person's picks, you know, so
right.
Mel Kiper on February 1st said this
right.
on February, but Nowacki doesn't do a lot of updated stuff. He comes out with that book and he has a final mock draft. I'm not sure he does a lot of updating along
the
way. I also don't know exactly what his status is.
Well,
right
I didn't
now.
Know that. So then that's a good reason not to have
in his analysis
plus
of the players is I think the best.
Yeah, but that comes late.
But that
this
comes
is irrelevant
very late.
To that. This is not tied into that.
Right.
This is a mock draft tracker where you're tracking the mock draft.
You want to see the movement and what the changes are.
Yeah, like Mel Kiper had Jace Amaro, underclassman tight end from Texas Tech, about 3 weeks ago for the Patriots in his first mock draft. He'll have dozens
2.0, 3.0, 4.0.
Of that. And you like to see, well... You know, back in February, or back in January, he had Jason Morrow. In February, it was whoever else. And you can see who Mel Kiper had. I don't think Nolan Nowacki does a lot of that.
No.
There's a quarterback that I predict will be a sleeper quarterback going higher than people think. His last name begins with a G. He's like from Eastern Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
What's his name? Gossel?
People are already talking a
people
lot about
talking
him.
People are talking a lot about him.
Oh,
he,
yeah?
Yeah.
Best quarterback out of Eastern Illinois since Tony Romo.
Correct.
I was starting to laugh.
Yeah, he's going to go pretty
they
high.
They say he's like a traditional pocket passer.
He's going to go pretty high. Some people have Bortles going number one now to Billy O'Brien.
Yeah, I find it, I reading Gil Brandt stuff, because Gil
Brandt. I thought you were going to say like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I did too.
Something.
Gil Brandt had he had his big board that he had Manziel as his number one guy.
Correct.
You saw that. Interesting hearing how we talked about it a little bit. I think I read something in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback.
And Peter King.
One thing he said, Gil Brandt said, one thing I really learned from Coach Landry was, you know, stop looking at all the things that he does wrong. Stop looking at all the bad and focus on the good. Something I'm paraphrasing.
That seems a bit flawed.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, Tom Landry came up with that?
Yeah.
You know, like,
because, you know, that Aaron Hernandez, he could catch passes. He was versatile. You got to look at the bad.
Right.
He's a murderer, allegedly.
You got to look
what's
at the bad.
What's going to keep him
too,
from being
right?
Great.
I mean, you got to look at the bad as well.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just ignore the bad.
They all have. That's like the exact opposite of what everybody says. Like, everybody says they all have talent. They all have at this level, but
right.
It's the things you got to pick apart.
Now, some of the stuff that Gil
Billy
Brandt
O's
said.
In trouble, by the way. Did you see the billboard already up in Houston?
Why?
Draft JohnnyManziel.com. That is setting him up for if
he
doesn't
do
take
it,
him
and
then Manziel
work.
Is good and the guy you took sucks, you're
in
for it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exterior pressure.
Who bought
there.
That? Do we know?
I don't know.
Some group.
Probably Manziel.
Strippers.
Johnny Manziel's grandfather.
Yeah, right. The strip clubs all got together. Oil.
Treasures.
Let's God go to the A-Stickin' Hotline, see what we got on
see,
here.
And you thought we couldn't do any football.
Is this foreskin on line one?
We'll see.
Oh, boy.
Liam's in North Carolina. Hey, Liam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
You know, I've been wanting to call you guys all season long. I just never get a chance because I'm always at work.
Well, that's good. It's better than the alternative.
So you got fired.
I'm glad you're gainfully employed.
No, we got a snowpocalypse coming.
Oh, nice. I heard. I just talked to a guy from North Carolina. He told me.
Yeah, it's crazy down here. Anyway, I just want to see if you guys had heard anything about any of the injuries that we have. Is there any updates on that?
Well, there was a report on Amendola that he would not require surgery and just rest.
It's going to reattach itself.
Apparently. I want to go back to that later, but I don't know if there's any other. I mean, we did just see
Sebastian Vollmer,
yes, who's coming off a broken leg, and he looked like he was walking pretty well.
He looked fine. He looked big as ever, by the way.
I guess more importantly would be like the Wilfork and Kelly.
Yep.
I have no fears about Kelly because I don't think he had
I don't think Kelly's injury was
we saw him
all
in
that
the locker
serious.
Room, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month later. I forgot when it was, and he looked fine then. I don't know really what happened with that Kelly injury, but it didn't seem to be that major.
Yeah.
I think if we would have had those guys, the end of the season would have went a lot differently. I mean, it may have been the same result, but I don't think it would have been as close games.
And Gronk is apparently.
But really destroyed us.
Yeah. Gronk is apparently in line at some club in the inside.
I
track,
saw that.
So
yeah,
he's feeling better.
Oh boy.
No, go figure. That's how he recovers.
Right.
You got to stay loose, limber.
So,
there
but
you go.
There will be no official, press conference or reports on any of these guys. It'll just trickle out, via reports from
and
Karen Garigian or whoever.
There's not a. I mean, the Amendola is a big one, no surgery. But like the other guys have already had. So we saw Mayo, we saw Wilfork. They're just in the rehab process.
Right.
And the next question is, come June, does Vince Wilfork look like he weighs 500 pounds, or does he look like he's in shape and ready to go?
Thanks for the call, Liam. The question I have about Wilfork's injury, ACL, they've come such a long way in fixing those. You know, there used to be 25 years ago where that could end your season. Now it never does.
Ends your season, not your career.
Never does. What about these Achilles injury? How far have they come in repairing those?
A long way.
Same kind of thing.
Really?
Look, Demaryius Thomas, we were just talking about yesterday because I was deeming him a little questionable for how quickly he came back and how successfully he came back from his torn Achilles 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Terrell Suggs had an Achilles problem that he suffered in the offseason last year and made it back before the end of the season.
But he really wasn't the same when he came back away.
Not exactly the same. And Wilfork
won't
be exactly the same.
Won't be. Mayo will be.
The guys that come back from their ACLs aren't exactly the same either. Like Welker had his least productive year coming off the ACL.
Yeah. You're not going to be fine.
Because I remember when Marino had his Achilles, he never walked again right after that.
No, and they'll probably be an element
looked like
of that.
They practically like fused his ankle or something. It was like it no longer did the right bending anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
we're a long ways from that.
I think it'll be better than that.
We're also a long ways from week one next year. Gronk will be fine. Wilfork will be fine. They're not going to be fine. They will be playing maybe, and they will be working their way back towards what their 100% is.
Certainly, I would expect those guys to open camp on PUP.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
As expected. As,
now, know. I did hear something. I don't know if I should tweet that now? I did hear something, and I don't know if it was a report or speculation that the Patriots could approach Wilfork for a restructure.
I think
that's in the offing.
Likely. They don't have a lot of cap space. They're not all that great cap wise. And now they'll create some, but it's over 8 million, 9 million.
Yeah, he's got a big number, but I think I think
do you want to extend him and guarantee something and tack on a year, or are you worried that he's going to be a 400-pound beast that isn't going to get back to where he was, and you're sort of delaying the inevitable? You also have the factor, the Hernandez thing is hanging over their head a little bit.
Yeah. They could get some relief there.
If he's charged with that other murder, so apparently salary cap wise, that's a big boon for them. But who knows if that's going to happen, and I don't know what the process would be.
Is it only a boon if the NFL allows it? Is it a guarantee that if he gets charged, they get that relief?
Seems to be writing it like if he is charged with that murder that predated the contract, it basically would void the contract, and they could get a boatload of money back. Now, I also, I assumed they would get the money back on paper no matter what. Now, something else I read made it sound like they actually had to get the money back to get the cash. That makes no sense to me.
The actual cash back?
Right.
Not a credit?
If Hernandez gives them the money back, then that is credited to the cap. That doesn't seem fair to me.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
You can't get blood out of a stone.
That's not going to happen.
I think you should get the relief on the cap either way.
Yeah, you should get the credit.
Even if you don't get the cash back, that's like being penalized twice.
How do you feel on situations like that? Do you think teams should get relief for situations like that? Like the kid from
situation like this, yes.
Like the kid from Dallas.
Yes.
Now, if he's not a huge salaried guy, so it's not that big of an issue, but should Dallas get salary cap relief for that?
Yes.
What do you think?
Whereas Josh Gordon, I don't think they should. I think if there's a specific track record or issues, or like Vincent Jackson, I don't think they should. I think you signed him knowing exactly what he was. He had a drinking history. He was in line for X, Y, and Z. But for something outside of...
Right. If you take a risk on a guy, a known risk, then you take a risk.
Okay, yeah. I get the differentiation for that, but let's say your Vincent Jackson thing. Should San Diego have gotten potentially relief from that? They signed him before he had those issues, and then he had those issues. I don't think you should get relief.
I don't think so either.
Well, I think you only get relief if you lose the player.
No, I'm saying if that were to happen. Like you're saying now, if they lose and Tampa Bay shouldn't get relief because they knew what they signed. They knew he was one strike away, and then he had that strike, and you lost him.
Right.
I get that. I see a differentiation.
On some level, that
there.
Should be rolled into the contract value.
I don't think it should be different for the kid in apologize. Is it Barry? What's the guy's name?
Josh Brent.
Is that?
I believe. Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't think Dallas should get relief for that. I mean, I know it's not the same as Hernandez. I don't think the Patriots should get relief for Hernandez.
I kind of agree.
You know, it's unfortunate, but I think that's. And I think if something happens to a player, let's just say real tragically, the guy gets
He gets run over
Hill.
Crossing the
Say
street.
Marquise Hill had been a star on a $50 million contract.
You should get salary cap relief for that.
Yes.
But what's the line? Where is the...
But, I mean, the line... I mean, he wasn't doing anything wrong.
He was jet skiing without
tragedy.
Even worse if it was just natural causes. He got cancer or something and he couldn't play for you anyway. I think you should get...
Well,
let's say Aaron Hernandez got cancer and he couldn't play anymore. And that's why he couldn't fulfill his contract. I think you should get salary cap relief for that.
What if Aaron Hernandez had been the one getting executed, allegedly?
If he was involved...
That's a tougher one.
Yeah,
that's a tougher one, Andy.
One. Yeah.
That's a tougher one.
Yeah.
Now you got to prove was he in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Right.
Is that what he was? What he
right.
was?
Right.
That's
right.
a tough one.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
It's a good one.
That's why you know it's hard to make these rules.
Yeah, it is.
It is,
especially when there's tens of millions of dollars involved.
And that's kind of why I think you should just not get cap relief. I think if you make it
unless
a
you
blanket,
get cancer.
Well, I mean,
what if he smoked?
Right.
Again.
Right.
But that's why I'm saying.
That's a good one.
So, no, but what I'm saying is that's
so
why I think
you have
the
to
blanket.
Say none.
Yes. None or all.
Yeah, let's start with no one gets it and we'll work from there.
I think you sign a guy and it
you
stinks.
Take the good, right. you take the bad, right. the facts.
It happened to the Celtics.
Len Bias.
Len Bias and Reggie Lewis, they didn't get any salary cap relief for Reggie Lewis.
Right. Let's go to Steve in Clinton, Mass, who wants to talk to Eric about Italy. Hey, Steve.
The only thing better in northern Italy is the foreskins.
Nice!
I don't
understand. He did it again!
I don't understand.
He did it again! Nice!
All right.
You know, on the penis.
Sam in Quincy wants to talk to Andy about Media Day.
Uh-oh.
This could be this the could guy. Be
yeah, see, that was the same guy.
Yeah. With two different phones.
He had multiple lines going. Yeah. This guy's
a loser.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
Can he actually call back, though? I want to know if this is the same guy that calls 1510 in Quincy.
Yeah.
Right now he just fell off his chair laughing.
I mean, we don't mind talking about foreskin if it has something to do with, you know,
the topic.
Well, let's talk about it in an intelligent way.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like on Peyton Manning's head.
I told him he should have called up and talked about the second year guy who just signed the extension.
Chris with a TIAN is on the line. Hey,
Marcus
Christian.
Marcus Foreskin.
Oh.
That would have been funny if you called up and said that.
Hey,
Randall
Christian.
Gay and Marcus Forrest didn't get together.
What's up, Christian?
What'd you say? You're tired?
Oh.
Hey! Oh, no. We put the kibosh on those ever since you got the app.
That's not my problem. Get undressed. What's going on, guys?
How you feeling, Christian?
I can't put the kibosh on that. That's my whole shtick.
I've noticed.
I have nothing.
That's true. Have you moved on, Christian? Are you rooting for Wes Welker this weekend?
Absolutely not. Go Seattle.
Really?
Okay. Am I the only one rooting for Wes Welker or Peyton Manning?
Fred is.
Oh, you're rooting for Wes Welker?
You said you were rooting for Wes Welker.
Yeah, I'm decided that I can't lose. If Denver wins this, I'm happy for Manning and I'm happy for Welker. If Seattle wins, I'm happy for Pete Carroll. I'm just rooting for a good game. I want some good entertainment.
He's rooting for no fun.
Walter Cronkite will be back with the news in a moment.
Mike's rooting for a good game.
I'm a Belichick toady, so I hope they get smoked. I don't want to see, for selfish reasons, I don't want to see Manning win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think most people around here are with you.
Yeah, Christian.
I'm not afraid of Manning winning and taking anything away from Tom Brady because it doesn't.
I'm not, but I always like Brady having that 3-1 margin. He'll still have three to two.
Right.
I know, but I.
Becomes a conversation,
now,
though. Whereas it's not a conversation now.
The last time Brady won one, and since Brady won one, Manning won two, and Manning threw this, and Manning did that. And
it's the Manning's four,
yeah,
Brady threw.
I know, but.
It's all that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, and I think Manning said it was, you know, they talked about his legacy today at Media Day. He's like, do you really have a legacy while you're still in it? Isn't legacy like when you're 70 years old and you look back?
I liked that answer.
You know?
But I also, I guess I'm not a homer enough to like root for
That's
Brady.
For sure.
No, I guess I root for the story. And to me, the story becomes better. The debate becomes better. This era becomes cooler to me. You know, looking back on it, it's a greater argument.
Brady's going to win it next year, so I'm not worried.
I just hate the argument.
That's right.
You love it.
I do.
And we've talked about this a lot.
The great debates in the history of sports, all sports, any era, anything.
I just don't think that individual games have as much sway as some other people do. And like Fred just said,
unless they're in the postseason,
the legacy
and they're Tom
changes.
Brady, then you rip
the legacy changes based on the next game.
Right.
You know,
but that's what people are remembered for.
I don't
great
have
games.
I don't have the hatred.
They're not done yet.
I don't have the hatred
but it
from
helps
Manning
him to win
a
Super Bowl in bad weather against a good defense. Like, that's a major accomplishment in his career. A major accomplishment.
It could, but the legacy is not ready to be written yet. So all these things will add up. If he turns around and kills somebody next week, like O.J. Simpson did,
the Broncos will not
legacy.
Get cap relief.
You know, if we were talking about
Paul said so.
If we were talking about O.J. Simpson's legacy while he was playing, you'd say one of the greatest running backs ever. We don't do that now.
Yes, we do. He's
not
a bad
really.
Person who's one of the greatest running backs ever.
His legacy now is he's a murderer.
His human legacy,
his legacy
as a player,
murderer.
Is that he's still one of the greatest running
but
backs ever played.
We don't look
played.
At it that way.
I think everybody does. That's what makes it a tragedy. They don't give a rat's ass that Ray Caruth
but
killed somebody.
But that's kind of a silly, you know, that's not necessarily
It made no
analogous.
Sense at all.
Do you really think this, I mean, I know that no one thought there was a chance that O.J. Simpson would do it, but do you really think there's a chance
my
that
Peyton
Manning could?
My point is, these guys are still writing their legacy.
Can
let's
you
wait
imagine
until,
that story?
Let's wait until it's done before we say what it is.
No, I know, but we're painting the picture as we go. The picture is getting more and more done. You know, we're painting by numbers here, and there's less little spots with numbers
but
in them.
It's not done.
I know.
It's not done, and it's not that I hate Manning. I mean, it was funny early
hating
on. I hated him, but now hating Manning. Now it's, you know, I certainly, and as a fan, how can you not respect him
I respected him ever since the 2007 AFC Championship game when he came back. And I respected him, and I respected him this past championship game where he absolutely just lit us up. Mm. And that's, you know, I respect players like that, that, you know, he comes out and he performs. And, yeah, 10 and 11 in the playoffs, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, like I said, for selfish reasons, my initial call was about Aaron Hernandez and the cap relief, but you guys got to all
what do you think?
Before you picked up.
What do you think on that? Just out of curiosity.
I don't think the team should get relief. Now,
I really don't either.
You have these circumstances where, all right, listen, you know, we signed a guy and a year before, you know, he did this or he did that, and the team certainly has legitimate gripes. There's no doubt about that. And that's a slippery slope that you get into with, you know, attorneys and laws and all that and
right.
unions, and that's a tough thing.
Well, here's the question to ask. If a player violates the terms of his contract, should the team get cap relief?
Yes, I think so.
See, I don't.
I
don't.
It's, you know, they talk about all these things about doing, you know, these background checks on guys, and we've been over this before, and drafting guys and then doing, basically tearing up his deal and giving him a brand new deal. Didn't he have like 2 years remaining on that deal, the rookie
yes.
deal? And then they're going to give him this huge contract, this huge bonus. And, you know, the NFL could turn around and be like, well, you know, you kind of did all this stuff, and it was your guy, and you drafted him. You did all this background work on him.
Plus, the only thing the player has is the guarantee.
Well, and, you
that's
know,
all he has, and that's what he's
well, and then,
for.
Like, the yeah. teams, you know, we're going to get to Andy's thing, when you can sort of break down every single, you know, what happens if he got shot by someone, and that's why he couldn't play, he got killed. Well, now we're getting to degrees of involvement in for lack of a better word, you know, badness. So
there's got to be a better
but,
word.
Well, no, but to Andy's point.
But what happens if a guy just gets arrested and now the team sits there and says, well, you know what? He's not that good anyway.
Can we get out from underneath?
I'm just going to cut him and I'll get the cap relief.
Well,
because
he's
violated his contract.
I was just going to say. If
so I'm out.
But back to what Andy said, let's just say the rule is this. And I don't know. It might be this where, okay, if a guy violates the terms of his contract and you're going for cap relief, you have to get the money for him. If you feel that strongly about it, you have to do the court work and all that stuff and actually get the money back. And if you don't, then you don't get the cap
that
relief.
That might be a good
that's interesting.
That might be a good sort of halfway point.
Maybe that's what it is.
Like, you know, like, let's just say if Alfonso Dennard was a first round pick and a bonus baby, and he had the stuff that he has had, you know, which is sort of minor, right?
Right.
But they didn't think that he was living up to his billing as a first-round pick. And now it's year three. I can just cut him.
Right.
I'll get the cap relief.
Right.
I don't really want the player.
Right.
And let's face it, it's very minor what he did. You shouldn't get cap relief for that.
Well, the right? league, the
well,
league might say you have to win in court.
Right. There has to be an
you have to win in court. If you feel that strongly, you have to win in court because the player has a right to turn around and sue you. And say, look, I didn't violate terms.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of arbiter who says whether or not that's a breach of his contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Does it make a difference?
No, but it's obviously a breach of contract. I mean,
what, murdering?
No, you're getting arrested and doing those things. There's language in the contracts that allows a team to get out from under on a guy like that. But I don't think they should get the cap space. You should. You're allowed absolutely
right.
to cut a guy and no longer have to pay him if he gets arrested.
Sure.
I'm not arguing that. The team has every right to do that. I'm talking about if that guy happened to get a $10 million bonus and he's only in year two of a five-year deal, you shouldn't get those additional $6 million in prorated cap space for
right,
it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
You'd have teams framing guys.
Exactly.
hey, you know.
You know what? I didn't like the way he was hanging out downtown
last
night.
Like a monk.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why Fred or Andy can't run the team.
That's right. We're too devious.
I'd be fine running the team.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
All right. I'd be fine running the team. We just lose a lot of games. I'd have a lot of good guys. I'd have a lot of good guys on my team. We wouldn't win very much.
Matthew's in California. What do you got?
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Matthew.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Oh, boy.
That's good. All right, so I also have a couple of free agent questions. Knowing that Belichick and seeing how Brady, how he, like, struggled, we can't really rely on Gronk staying healthy. I see, like, have you guys seen the top 25 free agent list? Have you guys seen it? The top 25 free agent
list? It's actually on Patriots.com.
It is?
Whose
list? It is?
Yeah, who's ranking them?
Well, it's NFL NFL's ranking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys see like the Patriots making any move for maybe one of those guys in the top 25 free agent list or not? You just don't think so because you think they're asking for too much money.
Well, Michael Johnson's a guy that I know everybody's already on to add some depth to the defensive end position and to the pass rush. He's a guy I'd be interested in. I would love to see another body added to that, make that a three-man rotation or figure out Ninkovich, whatever. And I know Cincinnati has invested heavily in their defensive line, and I don't know how much they're going to have left for him. But, I mean, I know we go down this road every year where we're lusting after some high-priced free agent, and in 2 or 3 weeks we'll convince ourselves it's really, really possible they might actually do it this year, and they won't. So I'm not going to fall into the trap and waste my next 3 weeks.
Right.
All right, and another one. I was wondering, I found two free agent receivers that I think they can fit the system really good, and
What do you got? Who you got? Come on.
Jeremy Maclin and Emmanuel Sanders, because Maclin's coming off a big injury, so he's not going to be asking for so much money. Sanders is not going to be asking for so much money either.
I don't know. Talk about Maclin.
Yeah,
last
trade.
Year.
Well, because he was going to be a free agent. Yeah. A lot of people thought we might trade for him at the trade deadline.
I like Maclin. I always liked him.
And we
going
know
back
Fred
to Missouri.
Wants to have Emmanuel Sanders' illegitimate child.
Yeah, well, I just think he would have helped this year.
Would you sign him?
And I think
would he help next year?
And I think the Patriots.
I don't care about this year.
I think the Patriots thought he could have helped because they went after him
as a restricted
free agent.
Move on.
What?
Would he help next year?
Sure.
Now he's a free agent again. Do you want to sign Emmanuel Sanders? Is he part of your offseason plan?
Let me look at the full list. And
I got the list right here. What do you want, wide receivers?
Give me who's
I'll
available.
Give you wide receivers.
There's actually a lot of name wide receivers available.
The reason why I picked these two guys is because they're not going to be asking for a lot of money because they're Maclin's coming off injury, and Sanders, I'm pretty sure, is not going to be asking for a lot of money. I think the Patriots can make an investment for him.
Well, I think Sanders might ask for some money.
I mean, he had a decent year.
Yeah.
He's not their marquee guy, and he's not a marquee receiver, but – you know, if we think that, say, Julian Edelman is going to ask for a lot of money, well, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be in the Julian Edelman category.
Any interest in Ted Ginn?
No.
No.
Nah. No.
But there's some guys on there like James Jones in Green Bay.
Jacoby Jones, any interest?
Jacoby Jones is a guy that I would.
He's intriguing.
I might look at.
Especially since we need a
kick return. Let's see. There's Eric Decker, Hakeem Nicks, Kenny Britt.
Why are you turning the page?
There's a lot of big name receivers that could be available. And I think that you might be able to target one. There's even some other guys. Now, I don't think they necessarily need smaller slot guys. But Anquan Boldin is another outside guy.
Short-term guy.
I wouldn't want Boldin at this point. I think that stunts the growth of the guys that you have.
Any interest in Devin Hester?
No.
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 No. Apparently, Fred's looking for a returner because the only guys he's listed are Jones, Ginn, and Hester.
But How about Cooper? I mean, not Cooper.
Cooper.
He's actually
Decker.
Available, right?
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Cooper's available,
I mentioned
too,
Decker. But yeah, Cooper.
From one white racist to the next, according to Eric.
Yeah, Riley Cooper's another one.
You mixed him up with a racist.
How about Joe
Webb? Their names are right next to each other on the list.
Robert Meacham from New Orleans is available.
No. No interest.
Okay. There are a lot of wide receivers available.
So are we...
Golden Tate?
First of all, we have to start with... A, is Julian Edelman going to be back? Are you going to attempt to re-sign Julian Edelman? And B, we probably should have led with this. The Boston Globe reported this weekend that Tom Brady lost confidence in Danny. Was that the phrase they used, lost confidence?
Was it a report or just, I mean, with Ben Volen wrote it, right?
It's not my job to try to clarify. If it is written as fact, I expect it to be fact. And it was written as fact.
Joe Zarbano.
It was written as fact that Tom Brady lost faith or confidence in Danny Amendola as the season went
on.
And it was not cited. It was written purely as fact, as information. So I'm sorry. It's the Boston Globe. I thought it was a good newspaper. I'm going to take that at its value.
But I'm going to strike the last part of that comment.
Wrote it as fact.
It's not, and you know.
So therefore, I'm taking it as fact. Knowing that, and then it sort of took the next step and said there's a chance he could be a cap casualty. He could be fighting for a roster spot March 11th. Basically is what he said. And do we believe that? I mean, is it possible that Amendola's out?
I think that, you know, if you're going to, again, they still have to pay him a certain amount of money on the cap.
The cap.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay him anymore.
So it's not like you get rid of him and that money frees up.
That would be more damage to the cap.
Right.
But I think probably a smaller chance. I think there's a bigger chance that it could happen than anybody else does. But I don't dismiss it.
I don't either. I don't dismiss it.
I don't dismiss it.
I dismiss it. I think
really
it would be
think
a terrible, terrible
I really
thing.
Think that we're going to be surprised. Not necessarily when I say surprise, oh, they will go after the highest price free agent. I think they're going to make some interesting moves this offseason.
Well, if they're going to be aggressive in any way, they're going to have to make some other interesting moves because they don't have a lot of cap space. They're going to have to be somewhat creative in creating.
I think they'll create it, and I think there's going to be some interesting moves made.
But Amendola, to me, that is, maybe I'm giving him too much credit. And I heard our friend Mark Bertrand sort of criticizing him. He was giving him the benefit of the doubt that he was hurt all year, the groin. And now when he hears that he doesn't need surgery,
right?
Mark took that as, well, maybe the groin wasn't as bad as I thought it was if rest is just going to fix it.
Right.
And I don't know whether that's fair or not. I think it's probably not far from the minds of fans. They look at it as if you were that hurt, you should have surgery. Right. If you don't need surgery, you probably weren't all that hurt.
That was the part that I wanted to get back to when we had the caller who was asking about updates on injuries. Do you feel like that? Because I heard Mark say that yesterday.
No, but I can see how somebody would.
I'm closer to feeling like that than I would be the other way.
I think he was
Was significantly injured and we were definitely going to hear at the end of the year that he's having surgery.
Eric's on the line from San Francisco. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys, and Eric. Hey, look, I want to go back to something that you guys probably talked about last week. I caught Tuesday's show. But one thing that we overlooked in the AFC Championship game is who's to blame. And I really think that much of it lies at the feet of Andy Hart. And let me explain why.
Okay.
You're not going to talk about my foreskin, are you?
Well, no, I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
But, you know, you were on EEI. You interviewed Bill Belichick. And you pointed out to him, very adroitly, I might add, that Tom Brady was over-targeting Julian Edelman upwards of 70% of his throws.
Okay.
Okay. Now, is it any coincidence that the game plan was to throw to everybody at the beginning of the game but Julian Edelman? Like, Matthew Slater is now our new deep threat, and Austin Colley's our new deep threat, and Matthew Mulligan is out in the, you know, in the flat? That's because of you. That wouldn't have been the game plan had you pointed it out to him. He goes to Josh. They changed the game plan. My feeling is go with what brought you.
Hey.
And, you know?
Makes as much sense as anything else I've heard.
I'm all for it. Blame Andy.
Blame Andy.
Yeah.
Except for that, he did overthrow Julian Edelman on a wide.
Yeah, he did try to throw at Edelman. If he had thrown to Edelman and actually hit it, they might have won the game.
Well, maybe that's how he interpreted it. You're overthrowing to Edelman.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And ultimately, he ends up going back to Edelman, his security blanket. But on a more serious note, looking ahead to next year, I mean, I'm not terribly concerned. There's a lot of talk about wide receiver. We will find somebody. The rookies are going to can only improve. Gronk will be back. Offense is not what concerns me at all with this team. The defense still remains a concern. That game on Sunday, notwithstanding the depletion with injuries, I mean, that was pitch and catch for Manning. And every year for the last 6 years, where have we ranked? We've ranked near the bottom on third down conversion, on yards allowed, on time of possession, and then we always say, oh, but, you know, we're only in the middle of the pack when it comes to giving up points. But the fact is, in 2000 and what, I think it was the 12 draft, we used 7 of our 8 picks on defense. We used 1 for Ebner, I think, in the 7th round. We just are not hitting on defense, and I have to say, we need, I think, to look more at coordinator, getting a genuine coordinator, and looking at the system we employ, because it cannot be personnel. You can't be missing for 6 and 7 years in a row on personnel. We cannot cover the pass. We cannot rush the passer.
Yeah, but
quarterback. I think that's the real concern going forward. It hasn't worked, and it really needs to be examined.
Well, it's a good point, but do you think that, again, you know, injuries, but had the Patriots stayed healthy, fairly healthy on defense, would they have been better than they have been in the last few years?
Yes, they would have been better because they would have been better than they were this year. Right. They would have been better, but is it good enough? That's the question. Would they have been good enough? Would they have been able to go to Denver or even host Denver and beat them? I mean, were they good enough in that environment, a championship-caliber environment? And I actually think it is personnel. I think they have missed more often than not. Because if it weren't personnel, some of these guys would be going elsewhere and being stars. You know, Jermaine Cunningham, when he washes out here, would actually go somewhere and do something. And the closest thing we have is Darius Butler. That's the closest thing we have.
Asante Samuel did pretty well in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but he was a star here.
Yeah, and you're going back. We're talking about draft
picks. I'm talking about guys
that
busted
washed
here
out
and then went somewhere else and were good. And there's just not a long list of anyone really having any success.
Yeah, Samuel, to me, was a miss in that. I think that they should have paid him the money. I would have absolutely given him the contract. And I heard an argument about this on the radio this week. The contract that he signed in Philadelphia was not over the top. I absolutely would have held on to Samuel.
Ever since Bill Parcells' draft picks have left or retired, we're seeing a change. You know, those early teams with great defenses with Ty Law.
You're absolutely right.
Teddy Johnson, and you can go down the line, and McGinnis.
The key members of the defense of the glory days, Eric is absolutely right. We're here. And he mixed in a Richard Seymour, which was a huge, huge mix in. But Rodney Harrison is a free agent, you know, later on down the line. But the Malloys, Laws, Johnsons, Brewskis, McGinnis, they were here.
Right. He mixed in a Seymour. He mixed in a Wilfork. He mixed in a Samuel.
And he has not been able to replace that talent since then.
And
I think Andy's right. It is personnel.
Yeah, I don't think it's scheme. The scheme's not changing. Whatever Bill wants to run as a scheme is going to be the scheme. You know, they've morphed it over the years, 3-4, 4-3. They've tweaked it to a little more blitzing this year, doing different things. But Bill is going to be, as Fred likes to say, the architect of the defense. It's going to be what he runs. He needs to get better players out there. I think the problem right now is they have too many mediocre players on defense. They don't have a lot of, as Paul would say, poop bums. I think they have a lot of guys who are like decent backups, maybe rotational guys.
They don't have guys you have to game plan around.
Right. And even the guys that you supposedly have to game plan around, I'm not sure you do. Chandler Jones, I think, had a solid year, was not a game plan around kind of year, in my opinion. I think Rob Ninkovich is solid. Right. Not sure he's game plan around kind of year. And you need a couple of those guys. Tlaib is a game plan around kind of year guy when healthy. Tlaib is that. Yeah. They need a couple more of those. You need to have a couple of those. I mean, look at San Francisco, where one year Patrick Willis is the best linebacker in football. The next year, Navarro Bowman is the best linebacker in football. One year, Justin Smith is the best guy in football. He makes Alden Smith. The next year, Alden Smith comes back and proves he didn't make poop. I am the best. Right. You need those guys that are in the circulation of elite. We don't have any of those guys that roll through the circulation of elite.
I hear you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Lots of emails coming in here on PFW in progress.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
We all know PFW in Progress attracts, well, an eclectic audience.
Dave is in Hi. Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Our fan base is excellent on evaluating talent.
I'm just sitting there and listening about the Ed Reed thing. I think, if he passes through waivers, the Pats should, kick the tires. I think, he'd be a good insurance policy, for Gregory.
Understanding when players are, shall we say, past their prime.
Here's a name that, I don't know what his contract situation is, but, what about Sean Taylor? I don't even know where he ended up.
Yeah, Sean Taylor is
the guy. Dead. Sean Taylor died.
Sean Taylor died. Whoops.
And embracing cultural diversity.
When is Gronkowski going to grow up a little bit here? I was reading, he put his foot in his mouth again, made some comment about some Oriental guy.
Whoa.
Asian.
Speaking of putting your foot in your mouth, you can't call them Orientals.
Think you can be the next great caller in the PFW in Progress family? Give it a shot by dialing 855-PATS-500. Just try to have something intelligent to bring to the table.
Okay, there you go.
I knew what you meant. You want to start this call over? Give us a call back in like 5 minutes.
Dave, I'm with you. I speak, Dave.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Talking Super Bowl. We're talking contracts. We're talking draft. We're talking free agency. The only place you can talk about all that right now in the world, Patriots, is right here. Every Tuesday and Thursday from 12 to 2. Keep it dialed in, downloaded. Whatever you do. Warren in London writes in, did you see that picture that was...
No, that was awesome.
No, but I heard it.
That was awesome.
Who's the pussy now?
Of you? Yeah. Where is it? Where is the real photo?
At the NFL.
Oh, okay.
At the media center, I think.
What? It's a really cool... It's photoshopped. But it's a really cool photo of Fred.
Who's the pussy now? It's a huge billboard type thing.
Yeah, with Fred's face and then a quote and a Patriots logo. And the quote is, who's the pussy now?
Really? Warren sent that to you?
Yeah.
Nice job, Warren.
It's really
good. I didn't see it.
Warren writes in, I have two unrelated questions. Why is the Super Bowl on a Sunday? Surely the biggest night of the year should be a Saturday night so that the parties can go on late and the hangovers are on a Sunday. It's a good question. People have talked about it here in the States of making that Monday some type of holiday, and somebody threw it out that they should move Martin Luther King Day to the day after the Super Bowl every year.
I thought it was already President's Day, and they were going to move the Super Bowl back one weekend.
Yeah, because
that next weekend is always President's Weekend, right? The Monday?
Right.
Like the 9th,
well,
10th, 11th.
Well, whatever it is, it's a good idea to have a holiday.
And not just
but
a...
We wouldn't have it, but...
It reached the point where I believe, and I may be making this up, but I don't think I am. I believe they moved the Daytona 500 back like a decade ago, and people thought there was some behind-the-scenes inner workings that the NFL was sort of requesting them to move it back so that they could move the Super Bowl back to this President's Day weekend so that there would be a holiday the next day. I don't know where that stands or if that was just, conspiracy theorists or whatever.
Right.
But there was talk that that was sort of happening long-term. It was going to happen.
But any of these holidays wouldn't help the international fans.
What do you think about the Saturday idea?
True, yeah.
Well, some of them are effed anyway.
What do you think about the Saturday idea?
I don't like it.
I don't know.
Football's played on Sunday.
Right, it's such a Sunday thing. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Saturday.
That just doesn't work. It's, Sunday, not Saturday.
I mean, you could do it, right?
Of course you could.
I would probably lean to keeping it on Sunday, but it certainly wouldn't move my needle to the extent that it did yours, obviously. It just doesn't sound right.
Are they afraid that, like, too many people go out on Saturdays and they wouldn't have the TV audience?
Really? You don't think people are going to watch the Super Bowl?
No, they would, but they're looking to maximize. And
you don't think people would maximize?
I don't know. I'm sure they've done studies, or maybe not.
Along those lines, we can get back to this.
I think there's a chance on a Saturday night you'd get a smaller rating.
Was the Pro Bowl not well watched? Because the tweet I saw from Greg Aiello promoting it was that it was the most watched all-star game of the last year.
Oh, here they go again.
And that didn't feel like a really overly braggadocious.
All-star, like, including other sports?
Yeah. So it got more than Major League Baseball.
Well, it is that unbelievable dynamic.
That's more than their own, too.
It's the worst. It's by far and away considered the worst of the all-star games, but it's the most watched.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, because my point was they did all this crap to make it. And
yeah, I just don't understand why people would watch it.
I don't need the needle. Now back to the Super Bowl thing. I don't see any reason why it couldn't be on Saturday. Why not?
No, I don't see any reason either.
And it could have been this year if there was a snowstorm coming on Sunday, they were saying.
Right. So, and it, I mean, you have the 2 weeks. You still have
plenty
of time.
I just would love to see what kind of weather it would take for them to use one of those contingency plans.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything that they would do. Like, if we had the snowstorm that we got here for the Dolphins game, that year was at 03, the snow fireworks game, I don't think they would have pushed it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything that could happen that they would push it unless the stadium was just unplayable.
They would
like,
hire,
it was damaged
they
to the
would hire
70,000
people to clean each seat, you know,
the only
whatever
thing,
it had they had to do.
The only way I could see them using a contingency plan is if the stadium itself was unplayable.
Hand out shovels to
like,
fans.
Like, they could
they
not allow, like, there was some
seat.
Sort of earthquake that did damage to the stadium.
Set of seat cushions.
And they couldn't play the game.
Right. Oh, by the way, you know how, like, in Indy they had the zip line? In Times Square, they have this 180-foot toboggan thing where you sit down and go down this big slide. I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, do a zip line from, like, the Empire State Building?
Boy, Central Liberty or something?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Marshawn Lynch.
Warren also says, with regards to contracts, are the Patriots allowed to re-sign a player whose contract is ending in a few weeks' time now, or do they have to wait till the end of the NFL calendar year? I'm guessing players hold out to try to see what free agency market is like. So could they extend, like, Julian Edelman right now if they wanted to?
Yes. But the last part of his email is the reason why those are very rare. Once a player gets this close to free agency, what is he going to lose himself? He's not going to cost himself anything. Might as well wait to get to
Marshawn Lynch is giving Dion one-word or three-word answers on NFL Network. I'm lip-reading. I can't hear him. But his first two questions were like one word and then three words.
Is it raining in there?
No, he's a DB. He's got his hood on and his sunglasses
his
hat.
He's not going to get fined, though. He is answering questions.
What a dink. I hope you choke on a Skittle.
He looks like the Unabomber.
Yeah. It's so hard being an NFL player. It's so hard making millions of dollars to play a kid's game and do a game that you love. It's so hard to do a sport where you get glorified for what you do when you would... it just drives me nuts.
They're
it
children.
Drives me nuts.
Well, they're
children.
I'd like to think that if I was a pro athlete, I would have a lot of fun with the media.
Right.
I'd try to have the meeting out of my hands. Because,
anybody
you know,
can. It's not that hard.
I think, but maybe it is harder than we think it is.
You don't know, man. There's a lot of pressure on these guys.
You know what? There is here. I think there is here, actually. I think there's a lot of pressure here to not say anything out of anything.
Perform.
You know, you when know, you find out that
they don't
Dante
know how their
Stallworth
families are going to eat.
Got
I mean,
bitch slapped for answering honestly which was his favorite of Randy Moss's catches. And they got chewed their asses out the next day. Okay, it's hard here.
They chewed their asses out.
It's hard here. But in a normal environment where
their
you don't get held
get chewed out.
Where you don't get held to a higher standard,
actually,
it's not that hard.
Speak and write in the passive tense.
Alex writes in, I really think we need another defensive end to rotate alongside Jones and Ninkovich. Getting a pass rush against good, it was supposed to be John Abraham, against the
he's
good
still
quarterbacks
coming, actually.
That we will meet in the playoffs is so important. We can't afford to be as ineffective as we were against Denver. Ninkovich and Jones played almost every snap this year. Over in Seattle, they have Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, Michael Bennett, and Cliff Averill, not to mention Bruce Irvin. Any one of these guys may be better than who we have, especially at rushing the passer, and they have four of them. I understand that exhaustion is no excuse in the NFL, but you'd think we could get a guy to rotate in and provide a little spark to our rush. It's becoming more and more important to get pressure on quarterbacks in this league, and I think defensive ends should be a three-person rotation. Just like cornerbacks, you can never have too many pass rushers. Hopefully Belichick realizes. Thanks, love the show.
It's the same argument. I'm sorry, we're back to last spring. We need a pass rusher. We need a corner. We need a receiver on the outside who can catch and be one. They're called playmakers. Well, we need playmakers. We don't have anybody that makes plays.
Somebody who called in Felger's show had an interesting stat, and this can be skewed a little bit, but the average time in pocket for pass attempt for Manning in that game was a little over 3 seconds, and for Brady was a little over a second. So now a lot of that's intentional. You drop back, fire it. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, because in the previous Broncos game. Was that backwards?
Manning had over 3 seconds in the pocket.
And Brady only had one?
1.5 or something like
that. So there was that much of it. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, huge difference.
That's huge.
I would not have thought that.
Yeah, that was a guy.
That's only one. That is a lot of time.
Because I thought that Manning just got rid of the ball ridiculously fast throughout that game.
Yeah. In the previous game, they were doing a clock on him, and it was like 2.2 on average, and he was getting rid of the ball. Yeah. Is that what he's clocking when he got rid of the ball?
I don't know how they clock that. But
Yeah.
From the time the snap happens.
Jones and Ninkovich didn't get anywhere near him all day. Yeah. Anywhere. One time.
No, I know they didn't have any pressure on him, but I thought that a lot of it was because Denver got rid of the ball very quickly. I thought Manning was getting rid of the ball, but that seems like a long time.
Yeah.
On average. I mean, for the average.
That is a long average. Doesn't sound right.
That's why I almost think they were backwards.
No. Well, that's... The point was...
You don't know if the guy's numbers were...
No, right. I don't. The point was that they protected Manning and we didn't protect Brady.
I did think that a lot of people said there were the big breakdowns on the key sacks. There was a third down sack and a fourth down sack. And other than that, a lot of people said that they did a really good job. I didn't really think that the protection was great in that game. I thought there were a lot of plays that Tom sort of had to reset himself to get the ball, had some guys flashing by him. Whereas, like Andy said, they had that big chart, like in the fourth, might have been the fourth quarter, no sacks, no hits, one hurry.
Yeah.
And that hurry resulted in Chandler Jones basically touching his arm.
Right. Well, yeah.
As he threw overthrew a touchdown pass.
Yep.
Which you could credit Chandler Jones might have knocked him off a little bit. Might have knocked his timing up. But that was it.
Toby from New York. Hey, guys, thanks for another entertaining year of Patriots talk. The prevailing opinion here in New York is that it doesn't matter that the Giants suck most of the time because they recently won 2 Super Bowls. I personally much rather have what the Patriots give me, a reason to watch football late in the season every season. Honestly, a Super Bowl win gives you around 2 weeks' worth of satisfaction, but after the 100th SportsCenter rerun, you kind of get over it. So what would you guys rather have, what the Giants have given New York or what the Patriots have given us year after year?
The Patriots. It's the great debate all over again.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about, like, overall? Like the last 12, 13 years?
Yeah, of course.
I'd rather have the Patriots.
Of course, yeah.
But if you're talking about the last, six years, I'd rather be the Giants.
I still would have rather had this perfect season.
No, but what I'm saying, six years,
because then it's 2 in the span.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he's asking you.
Oh.
So the Giants won 2 in the last 6, well, this will be 6 years now, 7 to now.
Oh, but, I'll take the Giants.
But some of the other years, they weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants over this.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll take 2 titles.
I want to win the titles.
And, exactly. Let's face it, the Giants aren't terrible. I mean, they had a terrible season this year,
right.
And they still went,
Even this year, they made the run. In the middle of the year, they were starting to lure people into believing they had a chance.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I would rather have 2 titles than no titles and be in the playoffs every year.
It's Paul's math. 2 titles is better than no titles.
But be in the playoffs every year. That's what this guy would rather have, being in the playoffs every year.
Now, if you're going short term, it's bad.
If I'm counting the whole thing,
right,
then obviously I'll take the titles that the Patriots, even if the Patriots had won 1 title in the last 6 years and they were in it every other year,
right,
I could make an argument. I'd rather have that than 2 titles and not being in it the other 4 years.
In general, I always want to be in it. I've said it a million times. I want to every Sunday in the season. I care. I'm in it. I'm preparing for the playoffs. I'm fighting for the playoffs, whatever it may be. I want to be in it because for me, it's entertainment. And for me, that entertainment is a weekly basis. I want it to matter every week.
Jacob in New Orleans says, thanks for providing us with some entertainment over the offseason. I hope you guys get some much-deserved rest and relaxation.
Nope.
I have a couple of quick thoughts. First off, Coach Dave, Dante's replacement, is obviously a big step down from Dante, but
Coach Dave, just a thought. Who'd have ever thought Scarnecchio was the easy name?
But just a thought, couldn't we have hired someone better? This guy was the guy who was the O-line coach during the butt fumble game. I thought Dable would have been a good replacement. Secondly, did any of you read Ben Volen's piece and how he thinks Amendola could get cut this year? I don't think there's anything to that. After an injury-filled season, shocker, I know, I thought he showed toughness to get back out there on a torn groin. I highly doubt that the Patriots would cut him after one season after putting such an investment into him this offseason. They knew what kind of player they were getting as far as his injury history was concerned. I also don't know about how Volen said Amendola lost Brady's trust. That's something between Brady and Amendola, and I don't think either of them would tell him anything about that. Unless we had another, my husband cannot throw and run without limping and catch the ball from Giselle. Thanks, guys. Stay warm up here, up there. Okay. There's a lot of people that, though, could have leaked that besides Brady and Amendola.
Absolutely.
Josh McDaniels would be an easy one.
You know.
And any of the coaches.
Scouts.
Yeah.
I just.
A lot of, there's a lot of people that would be candidates
for that. Now, the further it gets away, the less I believe it on some level. You know, if Brady tells you, okay, I believe it. If Amendola tells me, I actually have a little, you know, he may think he lost trust in me, but he didn't. If McDaniels told me, okay, but then if you go further, Dable, a scout, you're getting further away from the source and it gets watered down a bit.
Yeah. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Charlotta, she says, last week I heard several people talk about the lack of pass rush from Jones and Ninkovich. Don't you think that some of it can be attributed to the fact that both Wilfork and Kelly were out, and as the season wore on without them, both Jones and Ninkovich had to shift their assignments slightly, and also add the longer the season goes, they got worn down as well.
Yes. All of them.
They got worn down. No,
I mean, Jones definitely had to look at the running game a lot more than he might have if Wilfork had been in there.
But even the pass rush, if Kelly had been in there, we saw it early on. We saw that there were flashes where they were running games with those two, and it seemed to be working.
Right.
My guess would be that it's the attention that they got from offensive lines, and that probably is why Chris Jones flashed so much at the beginning. He wasn't getting any, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? We can't let this guy get 5-6 sacks against. We got to make sure we put someone on him. Whereas that guy maybe for a couple of weeks was worrying about what Chandler Jones was doing or what Rob Ninkovich was doing. And then they had to sort of button it up. Whereas if Vince and Kelly were out there, they're not just leaving those guys. Although, more so Kelly. I think Kelly is a guy that played a bigger role in the passing game than Vince did.
You think Stacey James will ever be part of the NFL Network's Media Day coverage? Because Pat Hanlon, Director of Communications for the Giants, is going back and forth with Deion Sanders. Pat Hanlon's on set.
I saw him on set.
Is he giving analysis of Media Day?
I guess.
Yeah, he's been on all day, kind of talking about what, as a PR guy, you tell your guys to do. I think that's interesting.
He did that last year, too, didn't he?
I think he did. And that's a good...
He's funny.
That's interesting. I think that's a good...
It's also funny that it's
good
him
insight.
Doing
it. Yeah, good insight into why they're saying
except
things.
Except he's like a hothead of PR guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they should have had the guy from the Raiders.
Right.
The guy that slaps people.
Maybe they need Stacy to balance it out. They got the hotheads. Right. How about a real PR guy who doesn't answer the phone with what the F is going on up there?
Yeah, I don't know what came out of that interview, but it went on for a long time with Deion and Marshawn Lynch, so I don't know.
Well, Deion did a very good job of having questions ready.
Continuing to
go. I saw that, because it started out with one word answers.
Well, yeah, but
I have no idea.
All
what
the questions were, what do you think of me? I think I could still play.
Am I the greatest ever?
Yeah. What do you think of the Pro Bowl? Because of me? Did my team get screwed in the Pro Bowl?
Let's see. Jake, Charlotta also says, I like Jones a lot. Don't get me wrong, but there were times when he got tossed around like a rag doll. He's got the speed and the athleticism, but sometimes lacks a little bit of strength. Didn't see any of that 101 pounds of muscle he apparently put on. Or 10 pounds, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 101 pounds.
Yeah. 24-17 Seattle.
He played at like 370.
The role of Paul Perillo as Chandler Jones.
I thought
put on 100
just
pounds
using
in the
hyperbole. 24-17 Seattle, because I can't take a year of Brady and Manning. I'd rather hear Sherman's jibber-jabber, and I won't even be mad.
Where is the Patriots-Colts Broncos game next year?
Here.
Oh. I thought that would have been phenomenal. They win the Super Bowl, and then we open up out there. Thursday night football, Broncos-Patriots. They might do it here. I mean, they made the Ravens go on the road.
Sure.
Well, that was only because of the Orioles.
Right, I know.
Precedent
has been set.
Jonathan writes in, thinking outside the box, what do you think of this idea for the NFL? Teams are allowed to give up their draft position in exchange they acquire more cap space. For example, a team like the Patriots or the Broncos, who have that small window to win, now forfeit their first-round pick in exchange for cap space. Let's say the 29th pick is equivalent to $10 million. Of course, every single slot in the draft from 1 to 255 would have to have a cap number associated to it. Just another added layer that would make the draft and free agency more interesting.
So you'd really be gambling on, we'd rather build our team through free agency than the draft.
This year.
That year.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. I mean, the number is highly inflated. I mean, you wouldn't get $10 million for
right, because the first one would then be worth like $80 million.
Right. But I
have a $250 million cap this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to dismiss the idea over, you know, quibbling over how much money to value
it's
the pick.
It's very intriguing.
I think it's interesting.
It's a little baseball-like where you lose a draft pick for signing a free agent.
You get the sandwich pick and all that stuff. I don't know. I think you should be able to get a guy that can contribute to your team in the first round. You should be able to do that.
Mm. True.
Every year. I'm not sure how many times.
Yeah, but it just gives
you a choice. Oh, yeah. I'm intrigued by the idea that
the
emailer brought up. I like
it. The average that the rookie gets at that position, at that draft position.
Like, so you just get the cap.
So you get, yeah,
allotment.
Like, right.
Right, which is not that much.
Right.
That's, you know, it's not that much cap space.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you decided you wanted to, you know, spend a little bit more on a certain free agent, and you say, oh, you know what, he would be better than our first-round pick would be.
But couldn't you just do that by declining to take the pick? If you don't pick the guy,
add to your cap space.
You kind of do, because your draft pool would be smaller. You wouldn't have to spend as much on the draft picks. Mm. But I don't think a lot of teams would forfeit the draft pick. Let's put it that way.
What they should do is, because
I could never see Belichick doing it.
They should do the slot times five, so you get that much space. Because if you get a first round guy, that his slot for that year is X, but he has to play a minimum of 4 years under that contract. So it's that slot times four. That's the space.
But you
that
can
you
cut
get.
Him.
You could, but I mean, you're taking a big risk by giving up that first round pick. You know. Maybe it's only applicable to the first round. I don't know.
And teams generally want the pick because they're insuring themselves, you know, what do they call it, asset control or physical control.
Isn't that
now,
one of the
if
keys
you're the
to some of
association,
these teams?
You'd really push for this, wouldn't you?
Because veterans get more money.
Right.
You're eliminating youngsters.
Right.
But everybody's a veteran once you make it.
Yeah, I just don't think it would be – I think it's very intriguing. I just don't think it would be used all that often, because I think teams look at it, and both of these teams in the Super Bowl are good examples of it. They have a lot of players on rookie contracts in key spots. Both of these teams do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what like Bill Belichick is looking for.
Yep.
You know, you're looking to get guys that come in and they play, you know, Chandler Jones is a key
definitely
member of your defense on a rookie contract.
Plus, it feels a little bit like we're going down the road of the NBA where all of a sudden I need to have an accounting degree to understand the cap and everything, and you're just going, I don't like that. I kind of like the NFL. It's a pretty much a hard cap, and you can kind of figure it out. I don't want to have to, well, you know, they have that exemption from the 28th pick back in 2012.
Right.
And it's a little weird.
LT from Adelaide just wanted to correct Paul last week. The Patriots The Patriots traded their first-round pick to Minnesota for a second, third, fourth, and seventh-round pick. Those picks turned out to be Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, Josh Boyce, and the seventh was swapped with Jeff Demps to Tampa Bay for LeGarrette Blount. Whilst I tend to criticize Bill trading down for value, I think his very, very good, see what I did there, Paul, drafting, and the initial signs of last year's draft look pretty good. Now an off-season question.
Can I just say something?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
As a response?
Yeah.
That was an email that had the whole trade thing, because the last thing in the world I would ever know is all the different guys they picked with added picks that they traded away. And by the way, I'd rather have Cordarrelle Patterson than that.
Okay. Now yeah,
the only guy that moves the needle there, right, is Collins.
Right.
And you'd still have your second round pick if you want to take
Collins. I'd still have all those other guys that you took if I wanted them. You know, like Logan Ryan, I could get a different Logan Ryan in the third round.
You could have gotten that one.
What I'm saying is I'm going to operate under the premise that you couldn't get Logan Ryan.
Right.
I could get somebody else that plays like Logan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I can get somebody else that plays like LeGarrette Blount. I don't need to have that particular player. Now, Jamie Collins is the guy that he might be a special player. You know, based on what we saw down the stretch, maybe there's something there. And I have him. You know, so that's a good player. I'd rather have Cordarrelle Patterson because I'm intrigued by what I saw by him down the stretch.
Now an off-season question for you guys. Over the past 13 years, which season would Bill regret the most and want to have back to do over? I know Patriots fans would want that 07 season and win it all, but I think the 06 season is an underrated season in the Patriots' ability to not win it all. I know it's hypothetical, but had that season ended differently and the Patriots won then, keeping everything else the same, what would be different today?
I think 06 is the answer.
You'd do that over, you think?
Yeah.
If he had to do one over?
I don't think he would go in with the weapons or lack thereof that he went into.
I think he cost himself a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything he did to cost himself going 19-9.
How about 08?
You know what my point is.
You don't have a bad Brady. A Brady with a bad knee, I mean. Try to make that over again.
Wait, what?
You mean and not like, have him
it's completely do over? Like if you wanted to change history.
We're gonna sit Brady out one play because he gets hurt on this play.
But he can't regret that.
No. But I mean,
he's talking about regrets.
Actual things he could have done differently.
Yeah, regrets.
Oh, I thought this was just like
to Andy's point. I think that he feels
if this could be anything, then it would win the Super Bowl to have the perfect season.
Right, 07.
Yes, that would be the
right, and that's why I would go with your version of 06, because I think there was a tangible thing that he did that left his team at less than it could have been.
Right.
Whereas in 07, you could make an argument that he had the business button down approach and they didn't play with enough emotion and all that stuff, but physically on the field, they were as good as they could be, and they won every game, and they got beat in the last game.
See, now, Paul,
but 06, the talent wasn't as good as it should have been.
Paul, by choice. I figured you would say 2002 because then you can bring back Bledsoe.
That's silly.
Well, now what if it's 01 and now you don't let?
Well, now I'm going to do the Eric. I'm going to go with the Eric thing, and I'm not going to have Mo Lewis do that.
Right.
I'm not going to have Mo Lewis do that.
And then we never win
Mo,
a Super Bowl.
Mo, don't do that.
And then we're just, you know,
no, but in the 07
franchise,
the 07 thing is not. I mean, he could have changed his approach for the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Yeah. No, that's why I said so, you could make the argument that something, you know, in the way he prepared for that game wasn't right.
As some of us have.
But I think that he made moves specifically in 06 that were not in the, quote, best interest of the football team, to use his line.
Quote.
Unquote.
Joel from Atlanta writes in. He says, so I just called Kevin. He picks up and says, sorry, bud, I have a bad phone. What does that mean? I'm not the prank caller. I am the most hated Patriots fan, PFW fan in history. Please stop the pranking. Call me, and he gives the number.
Call me.
We're not calling callers now.
Call me.
If you had a bad phone, you have a bad phone.
Hey, it's me. Call me. Wait, what if you have a bad phone? Oh, he has a bad phone.
Yeah. Kevin said, I can't take your call because you have a bad phone.
Oh.
And now Kevin's gone, so we'll ask him when he comes back. Indiana Matt calls in.
So have we finally gotten rid of, you think, foreskin guy?
I mean, if he wants to call back, that's fine. I might engage with him, see why he's doing that.
You want to engage with his foreskin?
No, I mean, I guess there is a guy on terrestrial radio that does that too.
Yeah, and I think they're funny. But he's in my head.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Every caller that calls now, I'm waiting for the foreskin.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking.
If there's an accent.
Yeah. Like, the guy from California, is this real? Is this? And then you're like, it sounds pretty real. It's good if it's not
real.
Well,
that's the good. Prankers will lull you into that sense.
Well, that's what he did last week when he engaged us in conversation for a couple.
With
and
David
then,
Givens.
Yeah, and then, Virgin!
But, yeah, that's his thing. Baba Booey. You
know? I don't mind it. What does it do to us? We're a circus of a radio show as it is.
Yeah.
It's not like we're, you know, missing our 8 minute past the hour break to run traffic because he had a foreskin joke. We are what we are. Play the circus music.
Indiana Matt writes in, after living in Indiana and listening to the
frickin' producer. Sorry. Speaking of the frickin' producer.
After living in Indiana and listening to the slack-jawed Manning and Colts fans, I have come to despise Peyton Manning. My wife and I can't stand him so much that we will not be watching the Super Bowl. We will be doing something much more entertaining. He said, insert catchphrase for Andy right here.
Hey, insert tab A into slot B, if you know what I'm saying.
I understand he is one of the best one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL, but watching him play turns my stomach. My hope is for a Wes Welker drop on the final play to end a potential game-winning touchdown or a Seattle blowout.
I can really appreciate that kind of hate.
I expect neither.
This is your kind of guy. Joe, did you see the Super Bowl yesterday? Nah, I was too busy getting laid.
I expect it to be a lopsided Broncos win by at least 2 touchdowns. The Seahawks don't have the offense to stay with Manning.
That's very transparent right there, buddy. You should have stopped.
And the Broncos, even if their
you
defense...
You don't really expect that to happen.
And
that's
the Broncos,
a lie.
Even if their defense can slow down the Broncos' offense, I think Seattle will still need to score over 28 points to win the game, and I don't think they can do that.
You talk about a guy doing the Fred where he's trying to set it up so no matter what, Denver's going to look bad.
Right.
Very transparent, buddy. I like it. I appreciate that hatred.
By the way, 2 years ago today, my wife and I went to the media day in Indianapolis and temperatures around 50. Today, I awoke to minus 15 degrees with a wind chill twice that with snow that has been on the ground since New Year's Day. We are in the process of having one of the snowiest Januaries in history.
And the whole damn country's cold.
Snow that's been on the ground since
New
Year's
Day. I guess Indianapolis
Day.
Is putting in a bid for another Super Bowl.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't.
You rolled the dice. You won.
Right. You played Russian roulette.
Tremendous.
You didn't die.
Right.
Do you guys feel like if the weather outside remains kind of what they're talking about, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be, you know, anything out of the ordinary. It's going to be like 30 degrees, and it's going to be okay for Sunday, that will therefore encourage another one, like maybe Chicago or some other outdoor?
Probably.
What do you think, Fred?
If people aren't overly complaining.
What's that?
Well, I think everybody's on their best behavior not to complain. I think the NFL put a directive out.
No. But I mean in general, like if the public isn't complaining, if fans are like, it was cold, but it wasn't terrible and it was fine, I think that matters on some
When's
level.
Fred going to start beating the drum for having one here?
I don't think Fred wants one here.
You can and Fred rent out doesn't your think house. They should do it.
Kevin, what happened with Joel on the phone? You wouldn't let him come on?
No, you had a bad connection.
Oh, that's what I said, yeah. So, too bad, Joel. We're not going to call you.
And it'll still be the same phone, right?
It's all garbled.
I don't want
if
Super Bowl
he wants
here.
To call in from a
well,
better
could
phone,
call from
back.
A different line. Like a landline. Maybe he had a cell phone.
Yeah, but we're not calling
he
him.
He could call
no,
back
I know.
If he wants.
That's what I'm saying. He should call
so
back.
So he needs to leave his number and say, call me.
No, I know.
That's not the way this works.
Yeah, I have you guys heard of any complaints about transportation in New York yet?
No, they're raving.
No, they've been getting...
I thought they'd do it right.
They've been getting escorts.
Yeah.
They've been getting police escorts.
And police escorts as well.
I figured
you know all these crotchety old writers get
you know,
get
with
hookers.
The time that they had, I figured they'd figure it out how to get people...
Each his own. I don't
how to move people around, so...
Yeah, Eric, we're still early in the week, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you do that on the road?
It's only Tuesday.
No, he should. Remember, we've been down this road. He refused.
Stop.
When we wanted him to clean the pipes.
Oh, yeah.
When
in
I went
France.
To France. Yeah.
Right.
No.
In France.
Yeah. I don't know why. Why not? When in France.
I don't do that kind of thing.
Wait a minute. The end of that sentence is bang prostitutes?
Well, in France, you know, having a lot of women is okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I'd be okay with having a lot of women.
He just doesn't want to pay for them.
Exactly.
He's a little tight with the money.
Even paying for them is it's you know it's accepted.
Now are they like clean?
When I went last year.
Who told you that?
It's not taboo.
When was the last time you were in France paying prostitutes?
At the brothels?
Wherever.
I don't have to be somewhere to read and know about it.
Right? How do you know that's true though?
He's happy with that answer. You can always tell.
You know?
Yeah, he did. He was the lean back.
Have you ever propositioned a prostitute?
No, but I've had them.
I have too.
Many times.
New Orleans, probably, right?
I have stories, boy.
Leaving the Herald on a nightly basis.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when I was your girl from the inside track.
When I first started, don't leave Laura alone. When I first started working,
Laura, sorry.
I didn't have a car, so I used to take the train. I used to take the Orange Line. So you had to walk back into like Chinatown. And I would get out literally, you know, for like one of the last trains, and I would walk down there, and it was literally like you'd walk through a maze. Like once you got like back off of the main drag, to get to the like old Chinatown exit.
Attractive ones or like crack horse?
Mostly probably crack horse, but I mean some of them, you know, you'd look and be like, oh, well, it's kind of attractive.
Give you a little head.
But yeah, they would come up to me and they see like a young guy.
What was the going rate?
I don't know. You think I ever got that far? I put my head down and went, man.
At what point can you get in trouble?
I don't know, but I never approached it because I never engaged.
Like if they say you're interested and you say how much, is that like have you broken a law yet? Or
well, I'll tell you a story. When I went to school at University of Tampa, we were
I knew there'd be a story.
We're on Dale Mabry, which is its main drag.
And that's where the
Dale Mabry.
That's where the Bucks headquarters.
There used
are.
To be a lot more. You know, a lot more prostitution down there.
Well, that's where Mons Venus and Space Odyssey.
So we went.
Where Gronk's
house is?
We went
to this dive bar, and we got out of our car at the dive bar, and there are a couple prostitutes in the parking lot. So they come up to us, and they're like, you know, coming up and rubbing us and everything. Hey, you want to, you know, do whatever? And putting their hands in our pockets. Meanwhile, they're pickpocketing us. Well, luckily, I didn't have any money.
Fred did,
right?
Didn't have any money.
Right. But my, we got into
the
bar,
that's
ever been, and like two of my buddies, all their money was gone. So we run out, and they're gone. So the next night, we took the fire extinguisher from our dorm floor. We went back in the car. We didn't get out of the car. And when they came up to the car, we rolled down the window and sprayed them right in their face with the white powder.
They're used to that, though.
And then we took off. It was so funny. It was so funny.
As soon as you started saying that.
Yeah, but you guys were still out your money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we got them back.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They were the same ones?
How much money?
Well, I don't know if they were the same ones.
Oh, so you could have, I mean.
Oh,
that's
so
the
poor.
It was the same parking lot.
So?
Yeah.
So some poor strip prostitute who may or may not have pickpocketed.
Who may or may not have been in med school at the time.
Right. Just,
I mean, they're
trying to pay
not
her
all
way
prostitutes
through.
Are the same.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know.
Fred, when I was in France last year, I saw them.
Sure you did.
Yeah, I tried to convince the lady to let me bring one back, you know, shake things up a little. Didn't work.
Bring one
the
back lady. Where? Here?
Bring
the
one, lady. No, bring one back to our hotel room.
Sure,
you know?
Why not?
Maybe shake things
and
up a little.
And menage à trois?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I figured when in Rome, you know, but she wasn't feeling it.
I thought you were in France.
Who wasn't feeling it? The
you're
prostitute?
You're in gay petty?
No. The
sorry,
lady.
Buddy. I don't take sad sacks.
Wow. She was like, what are you, 40? I was like, no,
oh,
27.
Oh, that hurt, huh? Let's see. Walter in Texas
and
New Hampshire.
By the way.
he says about cap space, trade Brady to whoever drafts Manziel. Get a quarterback who extends plays and lots of money for other players. Tired of watching Tom miss open receivers. He's too slow. But he was never fast anyway. So Walter is not a Tom Brady.
You know
is
what
your
I like?
Pseudonym?
You know what I like about some of this stuff on that, you know, Tom is too slow. You need a guy who can extend plays and make plays.
Like John Rook.
John Rook. His guy, who did he want?
Fifth round pick, Taj Boyd.
Taj Boyd. Fred's guy, that we can't remember his name from Eastern Illinois, is now widely considered ahead of Taj Boyd on the draft
list.
Yeah,
I saw something yesterday that said Taj Boyd, fifth round.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Peter writes in.
Papa something or other, right? Paparino?
No, it begins with a C.
The guy from Eastern Illinois?
My guy?
Yeah.
I thought it begins with a G.
Okay. You might be right.
It's an Italian sounding name.
It's definitely
right?
An Italian name.
Yeah.
But I can't
I know
think,
who you're talking yeah. about.
I can't think of the name.
It's
I thought
like
it was
Gorgonzola
a C, but it might be a G.
Like
it might be a G. You might be right.
Googleada.
These are our best shows where the season's done, so we don't really have a lot of season to talk about, and we know nothing about the draft yet, so we're just BSing.
Wait a minute. I have my whole draft.
Well, then why don't you look his name up?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo.
Fred was
right. It is a G. You are right.
Garoppolo. Peter writes in, would it surprise anyone if it were true that Tom lost trust in Amendola? In the biggest game of the year, he was targeted once and managed to drop that one.
I
don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that is accurate, that Brady lost some faith in him. Does everybody else think that's out of the realm of possibility?
No.
What do you mean by lost faith?
I don't think he felt as confident throwing the ball to him as he did Edelman.
I think he realized the guy can't get open.
But I think part isn't of that part of the reason why you wouldn't throw to him as much?
Yeah, but
so
I don't
you
know
lost
that
faith in him.
But I mean, I guess if you want to spin it that way.
But I know I'm reading it a little bit differently though. Like, I think Brady might have understood that. All right, he's hurt, so
he's limited.
He's limited, so I'm going to go to the guy who's healthy.
If I keep throwing to a guy who can't... further and further down my list as time goes by, and he doesn't go under the knife. I got to be honest with you. I'm serious. I scoffed all year about the whole it's better if it comes off and, you know, it's hanging there. And, you know, I told you I was inspecting
the
groin.
It's like Tony Romo. Comes right off the bone.
The meat comes off the bone. Right. I mean, one of our emailers, you know, said that way back when. Yeah. I'm less and less tolerant of how injured he was during the course of the year. The more time goes by and he's not having anything done.
John writes in about Parcells versus Belichick drafting. I keep hearing how bad Bill Belichick is at drafting compared to
he's
Parcells.
Very, very good. You're not hearing that.
I admit
Paul's just talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Not on this show.
I admit Parcells is a great team builder, and I am a Parcells hater. Could we also stop to recognize Parcells had a heck of a lot nicer position to draft? Parcells had 3 top 10 picks, and Bill had 0. Parcells' great players.
That's incorrect.
Parcells' great players, Bledsoe, McGinnis, Law, Glenn, were all his first-round picks and were less than the 25th pick in the draft. Give Bill a first, fourth, and seventh pick in the last 4 years, and I think we would have some great talent, too.
Okay, well, he had a sixth and a seventh and that he turned into a tenth, I believe.
Right. He picked in the top 10 twice.
And he got Mayo, which is pretty good.
Right.
Right.
So he picked in the top 10 twice, and Parcells did it three times.
Four times. Three times.
Three times.
Three times, yep. In 93, he had Bledsoe.
He inherited the number one
pick. And then he had the 31st pick. He got Slade. 94, he had the fourth pick was McGinnis, and the 35th was Lee, who was no good. 95, he had the 23rd pick. He picked Ty Law.
Ty Law.
And then with the 57th pick, he got Ted Johnson.
So he had three top 10 picks. And in Belichick had two.
And then in 96, he had the seventh pick, which is Terry Glenn. And the 36th pick, he got Malloy, which is a good pick.
Wait a minute. But if you're going to include...
So again, he had three top 10 picks, and Belichick had two.
But
it's not that different.
But it's also, if you look, you know, like if you took early in the decade, I think Bill measures up fine. I think he hit on Seymour. Yep. I think he hit on Dion Branch. I think he hit on, you know, Dan Copen and Asante Samuel. It's
Eugene
it's more
Wilson,
of late.
I would even
no,
say
it was that
hit.
It was those last year. It was like 2006 to 2009. it was really a drought, and then Pioli left,
and the drought continues.
And some reason we still can't drink.
Parcells had three picks in the top 10, four in the top 25. And then Belichick had zero in the top 10. Well, he had
but
him,
he
but
had
he
two.
Traded him away.
No, he didn't. He traded. He drafted
he
Richard
one.
Seymour at six, and he drafted Gerard Mayo at 10. So he had two top 10 picks. He had the seventh and traded down to 10.
Oh,
well, that's top 10.
Those are good players.
Absolutely good players.
Yeah. So what are we arguing?
What
about?
Are we arguing? I think Belichick's a good drafter.
Oh, it's
very,
just good
very
now.
Good.
Very,
you
very
dropped
good.
Both varies?
Very, very
you
good.
You dropped both varies.
Lately, he hasn't been very, very good. But I think overall, the whole package of the, 13 years, he's been pretty good.
Okay.
Very, very good.
How is the 2012 draft?
Not one of his best.
Okay.
Is that the one I think of?
No, I don't think so.
Which one?
I thought it would take more debate, so I think you're thinking wrong.
You're thinking of...
2012 is Jones and Hightower, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's working out great.
But not terrible either.
No,
not
I didn't
like
say it was terrible.
Not like was 07 the one where they
no,
had
the
like,
07 was the pass draft.
Right.
Yeah.
They got nothing.
They got Merriweather and they passed.
Which is ridiculous. I don't know why you'd ever pass.
It doesn't make any sense. To me, that's the worst one of
no,
them.
No, but my question is, to me, the one that's really in the crosshairs is trading up twice in the first round. And we're 2 years away from that, and it's not a home run. We know for a fact, right, it's not a home run. You don't. It's not like you have two Pro Bowlers, two All Pros out of Hightower and Jones. That's a key draft, and next year is a key year for that draft.
Sure.
Where those picks are perceived.
Yep.
Are they okay? Do they continue to evolve? Is Jones now a Pro Bowl, All Pro type pass rusher?
If they need to evolve into the foundation of your defense.
Correct. And next year is the year. Yeah. You can't say year four. You know, I know Paul likes to give 5 years for jumps and all.
Will you shut up?
But. I mean, bottom line is, year three is piss or get off the pot.
Right. They need to become the cornerstone of your defense. Jonathan says, are we supposed to get cap money back with the Jonathan Fanini agreement? Has that been resolved? Do we get money back from that?
I feel like it was already resolved.
I think that was resolved.
But did we get the money back, or are we going to get the money back?
That I don't remember.
I don't believe we got any money back. Did we?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Can you look into that? You have good sources sometimes.
Yeah, you should effort that.
Cody wants to know more about why Eric says he didn't learn anything in college.
Oh,
do you want to add to
No, I don't.
Oh,
let's
wait a minute
on.
Now. We definitely need to address that. It might be too late in this show, but we need to address that. That needs to be addressed.
And it was kind of odd.
Bookmark that. Yeah. We need to get back to
you
that.
You know, 4 years of college, that's a lot of money that if you didn't learn anything.
Business school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I took Italian class.
So
I loved Italian class.
You went to 2 years of business school after the 4 years?
No.
So you majored in business.
I was a business major. Yes, I was in BU's business school.
No, but business school is when you go for your MBA. Oh, my God. That's when you go for your MBA.
School of Management, Paul. You were there, SMG.
Sex, money, and greed.
Right, but that's not really, you don't get your MBA.
No, I mean, if you
have BA at SMG.
Right, I got a BA from SMG, exactly.
I got a BS from COM.
I got MSG from Kowloon.
Right.
No, but it's a lot of money to not learn anything.
Well, how much
I didn't
money
learn
was it
business-wise?
30?
Business
25?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, they used to have the shirts. Remember the shirts? It was like 0 to 60,000 in 4.5 years or something. That was like the big joke.
So it was
campus.
Probably like 20,000.
Oh, back then?
Yeah, 15, I think it was about that.
I think it was more like 40.
40
no. per year? No, it wasn't that much.
Because isn't it like close to like 55 now?
Yeah, yeah, but it's close to 60 now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't 40.
Yeah, I don't think
because Tufts was pretty high on the acceleration chart, and I think mine was 36.
I know what it was. I think the shirts were 0 to 100,000 in 4 years.
I can see that 20 something.
I think it was like 20. I think it was like 25. Yeah.
Well, back then
that was a lot, though.
A lot of money. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't live there.
It's a lot now too.
I couldn't. I really couldn't afford to.
Yeah.
College is so ridiculously expensive now.
The prices are going to come down. Yeah. You'll
see. That bubble's about to burst.
It is. Yeah.
But it seems like. Everybody keeps saying now.
It's no, but it's plus the other little thing is a lot of people don't pay. A lot of these schools, like it's high class schools, NESCAC, you know, the Ivy Leagues, a lot of people don't pay.
And
there's a lot of money.
Well, most
available.
People don't. Most people don't. But there are. I'm in the market now, so a lot of schools are marketing themselves as we're doing our best to keep costs down. Like a lot of southern schools. Right. They're saying our tuition's like 35 because we're making an effort to.
Have you gotten
bring
into the
down.
Financial aid part yet? 35
is cheap, but
well, I yeah, did. I tried for last year. I didn't get any.
Right, and that's what I'm. I don't think that you. I don't think as many
rich.
People as you think.
Well,
don't have to pay.
No, like 80% of the people that go to Harvard do not pay the full tuition.
Right. Maybe not the full.
That's a fact.
Maybe not the full, but like my niece right now, she's going to play two sports, and she has some of the schools that are interested in her want her to play both. Some schools want her for one sport or the other. She's a terrific student, 4.0, just a great athlete, and she's getting almost nothing from all of these Division II and III schools.
They're not giving
it's
her
ridiculous.
Like a merit scholarship?
But it's like it's nothing in terms of the big picture. It's like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000.
Really?
That's what they're, you know, off of 50 that they're right. looking to take off. I mean, but that doesn't help you.
No, it really
that doesn't help the average person. You know, I mean, obviously any little bit helps.
Sure.
I'm not just dismissing that, but I don't think that and my you know, my brother and sister-in-law are not rolling in the money.
Yeah.
They live around the corner from me.
Yeah.
So it's not like they, you know, you or Andy with your land.
Oh, yeah.
And your serfs.
Screw that. I actually visited my niece at UMass Dartmouth, and Jackson said, am I going to go to college here? I go, probably. Unless you find a way to go somewhere better. And that place is a hellhole.
Yeah.
I did not know how bad that. Her dorm is like a prison.
Yeah. Really?
The hallways are these cinder block walls, but they're like 3 feet wide or something. And the pipes are all exposed.
Really?
And they're,
it's like an insane asylum.
It's what I would think a prison or an institution would look like.
I visited it
like.
Once and was it like, I could never go to school.
Absolute hellhole.
Yeah.
Hellhole. Yeah. I can't imagine.
From what I hear,
I've been on campus there, but I've never been
in the middle of the night. And no, like, nice anything. Like, I know Tufts is, you know, a NESCAC, that's it. But, like, the dorms at Tufts, you walk in and there's, like, a group room. You know, like, with some couches
Common
and a
room.
TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
This had none of that. Like, you just walk in and it's these crappy hallways that lead you to a crappy room that are cold and yeah, you feel like I've been strapped away in a padded room. This is where I'm going to spend the next.
The whole campus is really not much to look
but
at.
But even that, I give you know that was a mistake in the whenever it was made, 50s, 60s. It was supposed to be modern. It was like a modernistic concrete design. But these dorms are newer. These have been made since I was in high school. These are in the last, and it's like they went the cheapest route
right.
to, but didn't even pretend that you know even. You know, paint the hallways a bright color instead
right.
of just this bland tan that makes everything
right.
is institution. That is exactly what it feels like. If you're getting wheeled into an institutional, that's what that is. It's
right.
hellhole.
They're taking institution of higher learning
yeah.
a little too
it's,
far.
It, I mean, what a hellhole.
Wow.
Jackson, good luck.
And all the idiots in my high school went there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's.
It was,
I'm guessing more and more people are going to those
the
types
kids,
of schools.
The kids
cheaper.
That didn't do any work, like in
yeah.
you know, were on the verge of flunking off the basketball team with me.
Right.
All
you,
all
you
went
go
there
to
together.
The cheap school because I mean I don't know what it
he went to the better UMass
probably in the teens, right?
I got into Northeastern. I just couldn't afford it.
He went to the better UMass.
My goal was actually, believe it or not, it was to go to Northeastern, but we just couldn't fit. We didn't get
that's
enough.
That's another one. They're
yeah.
crooks too.
No, but
it's
but
the amount of
we,
money that it costs.
But I loved
crooks.
I loved
they
this.
Are.
But I loved the school. I loved the co-op program. I loved the location. And I was like, I really want to go here. But when my father sat me down and was like, this is what you're going to be looking at when you come out, I said, no, thanks.
Did you see Mark Cuban tweeted out, in his opinion, as a businessman, if you're going to have more than $30,000 in debt, do not do it.
Yeah.
Do not go to any school where you're going to leave
well,
it with
mean,
more than $30,000 in debt.
I came out and got that. You know, I came out.
I didn't know you'd come out.
No, in 09, so not that long ago, though. And I made the,
wrong.
You know, I got a little bit of money to the Northeasterns and the BUs of the world, but chose UMass because I got even more money, saved more money
right.
as in-state, and I came out and I didn't even have 20.
Right.
But and now you can't even get in UMass. There's a waiting list. It's hard to get into UMass
Amherst. Is it because it's affordable?
It's affordable.
Yeah,
it's hard to get in all the schools, too, around here because, you know, there's competition. But, you know, my palace in Everett that I grew up in earned me 0.0 financial aid dollars in my 4 years at BU.
Yeah.
Not 1 cent.
Well, you were a Hall of Fame baseball player, though. You were on a full ride.
Between my sophomore and junior year, my father got laid off. So our expected parental income was zero that year.
And you still
got financial aid.
But that's wrong. I mean,
you think?
Yeah, that is wrong.
You can fight that, Paul.
Well, they were rolling in the dough from the bar.
You think there might be a reason why I'm a little bit more bitter than the
average guy? No, but you don't have to settle for that. You could have fought that.
We did. We got nothing.
That's something happened there.
I think Ginger was hiding an income stream or something.
Yeah, in the mattress.
You know, that's just not right.
Ginger was rolling in it.
No, but that's when Ginger went back to work full time.
Well, what did Ginger do?
She's a bookkeeper. She still works.
Bookkeeper.
The bookkeeper.
Fred, when you say UMass
bookkeeper.
That's why Paul keeps the book when
right.
we do the pitch.
That's my point.
Not that kind of bookkeeper.
She was rolling in the dough. Literally, she was just throwing it in the air and rolling around it.
Works for a fine Fred, company.
I was going to ask.
They're in waste management.
You don't need to know about it. Don't worry.
I tell you the rest, but I don't want to get you in trouble.
Is it harder to get into UMass, Fred, based off the academic part or just because it's affordable and everyone wants to go? That's what I wanted to ask.
Well, it's both. It's not a bad school, and it's affordable, and so everybody's trying to get in.
Yeah,
and now they can be more selective. But back in my day.
Exactly.
You could walk in.
But even 5 years ago, Fred, when I was making my decision, it was looked at as sort of like a laughingstock school, like, oh, you're going. And I was like, you know what? You know, all my buddies that were going to BC, BU, Northeastern, all these schools were laughing at me. And I was like, well, I got into those schools. I'm just making a financial decision.
It's still UMass, but it's not a bad school. And
interesting.
A lot of people
want to go. So a lot's changed in 5 years.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I do hear that argument a lot, that it's getting to the point of no return and people aren't going to be able to go to school.
Right.
And I don't see the.
Well, we should, as a country, we should be promoting other avenues for success, whether it's trade schools or whatever. You can make money in this country without a stupid college degree.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of kids I know that didn't have college degrees make a lot more money than they do. A lot.
So, Dan writes in, while I'm still rooting hard for Seattle, there may be a silver lining to Welker and Manning winning a title. It could be the catalyst for the Patriots realizing the true depths of their failed approach to personnel from year to year. The next may seem a bit extreme, but moving forward, I strongly believe ownership and Bill, the GM, need to put themselves on a 2-year clock to get that fourth championship. I would consider every asset beyond 2015 for sale, be it draft picks or expiring contracts. They need to target at least one outside receiving option with a backup option, whether that is Dobson or another free agent. I couldn't blame them for letting Tlaib walk given the injury concerns, but they better have a backup plan through free agency if he does. The division isn't getting any tougher, so they can afford to bust out on basically every pickup and be at worst one round worse than they were this year. But if you're telling me the plan is to go back to the draft for wide receivers and defensive backs, then my response is, thank you very much for spending me a lot of heartache early, for sparing me a lot of heartache early. I don't know.
I don't either.
What do you think about this going for it? You know, should the go for it?
I've already told you I would. Three first round picks for Revis and Jackson. I went for it.
I'm not looking for that, maybe.
I'm not doing that.
Why?
But I would like to get
I don't think it's worth it.
I'd like them to spend some money in free
I don't
agency.
Think those two players are worth three first round picks. That's all. It wouldn't be because I'm worried about the future. If I thought that those two players were worth three first-round picks, I would do it.
Okay, so who do you want?
I'll take those players, but I don't want to give up three first-round picks
for them.
You
can't go for it by giving them a third and a fifth.
But I also think that it's this notion that's sort of been perpetuated over the last several years. In 2007, they went for it, and now they don't go for it every year. I think that you can do everything you can do to be as good as you can be that particular year without mortgaging the future. It doesn't necessarily preclude you from being good in the future. I think that you can make moves and bring in guys that help you be as strong as you can be and then decide the next year which moves you want to make to sort of massage your roster and get the guys, you know, re-ups that you want to keep and let the guys go that aren't necessarily instrumental in your success. I think you could do both. And I think there's too much emphasis around here on, oh, the Patriots, they're in it every year, and that's the way to do it. I think you can be in it every year and win it a few times and still not be, you know, on, you know, in ruins
right.
5 years from now
right.
because of if Andy makes that trade, okay, three first round picks for Revis and Jackson. I don't think that means that once Revis and Jackson are done that
right.
you're done.
That's right.
No, you can still be good.
Right.
No,
like,
but you can also, do that.
You also don't know what is the line in your own philosophy that you cross into going for it. You know, is giving John Abraham an extra $2 million, did you go for it? Did you not go for it? And
I wouldn't lose a player over, you know, small amounts of money. If I really, if I don't like Abraham and that's the reason why I don't sign him, I'm fine with
yeah,
that.
But that's not the reason.
If I like Abraham, but I don't want to give him 3.5 instead of 3.2, that's silly to me.
What did he get from Phoenix?
I don't know what he got. But I'm just saying,
been Phoenix in damn near 30 years. So
I think to me, going forward is I'm Arizona. Not worried about next year or any year after. I'm just worried about this year.
Yeah,
but how do you do that?
Right,
you still have a salary cap, and you still have certain things you have to live within.
Right. Cap fat.
I agree with you in general, but you can't just pay out.
No, I know, but I know that especially this team, you think this year, but you also think of next year and the year after. And I'm saying in the Patriots' case, going for it would be to hell with next year.
No, but like even say, you know, you're on the clock at 29 and Bill looks at a player and he's like, this guy's fine. He's nothing to get excited about. And some team calls and they're going to give you a one next year and a blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Just settling for the play. Well, you know what? We're going for it, so I got to take a guy in the first round.
No.
Even though he doesn't blow my socks off.
Okay,
even
Andy.
Though I'm not that excited, I'm not even sure he's going to start for me. Is that going for it just because
no,
you didn't
that's
trade
not
out?
No, but you know how you, but you know how you go for it in that particular case?
You trade up.
You know, you know oh. now.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
know,
up.
You know
that,
now
that would be my
who's
guess.
Available. Okay, you know that you're starting to put your draft preparations now. And in the coming months, free agency is going to start. If I know I'm picking 29th and that guy's probably not going to blow my socks off, now I'm looking to get a little bit more aggressive in free agency. That's mm-hmm. how I'm going for it. Or
trade up.
Trade up.
Or both.
And find a guy that you do think is going to blow your socks off.
I'm all for going for it. I don't know what going for it really means.
I don't either,
or implies,
but I want to do it.
Or entails. Me too. I'm willing to go further than you, obviously.
All right.
I got 3 ones on the table for anybody who needs anything.
But going for it to me would be acquiring those guys. How much you have to give up to acquire that. Listen, if that's... If I can't get it done for less than that, throw in the third one.
Does
Fine.
It work?
What do you mean?
Because I also
work?
Think there's some questions as to Vincent Jackson. Does it work? Brady's arm, deep ball, blah, blah, blah.
That's going
to
be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. By the way, the person who made the poster of me was Freddie, a Brit in Denmark.
Oh.
So thank you for that. That
Nothing
was
like a Brit in
good
Denmark.
Job.
Nothing like crediting Warren for something that he didn't do.
Well, Warren sent it to me, but also Freddie, a Brit in Denmark.
Freddie! Well done.
Good
I
job.
Enjoyed it.
Good job.
I want one.
So we're going to be
good
back
today,
on
people.
Thursday at noon. And, you know, who knows? There could be some more Patriots news by then.
And Thanks. Maybe some foreskin.
Never. You never know. We'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.